Everyone.
Good morning.
Good morning to the members, to the department. Since the committee was constituted, I believe we are the last committee to actually sit for the very first time. However, I am looking forward to the engagement, and I'm sure that my fellow committee members are too. But to my left, we have Mr. Wasim Matthews, our procedural officer. I'm Regan Allen, the standing committee chairperson for community safety. But I will go over to my left as the members will introduce themselves, and then I will hand over to the department for introduction of the members as well as those at the back. Over to you, sir.
Good morning, Phil and Christians. Good morning, Gillian Postma.
Good morning, Ms. Suli Kama.
Good morning, Ayanda Bam.
Good morning, Rachel Van Vogel.
Over to you, Mr. Murray.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman Peter Murray.
Over to the department. Welcome to the MEC for being here as well.
Gideon Morris, Head of Department.
Good morning, Ayashina Palay, Chief Director, Secretary of Safety and Security.
Good morning, Muhammad Friesler, CFO.
Good morning, Lindy Governor, Chief Director, Management Support.
Good morning, David Pixier, Acting Chief Director, Security Risk Management.
Good morning, everyone. Simon George, Security Risk Management. Thank
you. To the two guests at the back, if you can come to the mic and introduce yourselves. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Kayla Murray. I'm an assistant spokesperson.
Good morning, Chair, honorable members. We'll be making this somewhere from PNG.
We also have Mary Ann Burgess with us. I'm sure everyone would have seen her before. Thank you. On that note, I will hand over to the department. I will allow the MEC, the minister, to make some brief introductory comments, and then I will hand over to the department for an introductory briefing to the standing committee. Thank you.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. In fact, a very, very big honor to have my first meeting with the committee. I'm in a new portfolio, so you will notice that for everything the annual performance plan for previous MSCs or MSC or whatever. And I would like to say that I'm actually looking forward to the engagement and the involvement of the standing committee with regard to safety and the whole narrative of safety. And I'm talking about a broad narrative, not just crime and policing, but a broad narrative of safety. And because our communities are really going through periods of absolute trauma and violence. And it's not only the hardcore crime, it's also the whole issue of housing and all those other social development, all of those issues as well. I will not, because we only have an hour and a half, I will give over to my agent just for his brief comments, and then I think we have a presentation, and after that we can have an interaction. Thanks very much, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, MEC. Chairman, through you. Just maybe an overall from a governance perspective of the department. We have a total of 87 predetermined targets, or APPs as it is commonly referred to. That also includes the sector-specific indicators for the National Secretariat of Police. Last year we achieved 100% of our sector indicators and 98% of the predetermined targets of the department. The two targets that we did not achieve is the one on the time years publication of the neighborhood watch list in the Government Gazette, as is required by section 6 subsection 7 of the Community Safety Act. And the other target we did not meet was a technical recalculation based on the outcome of the audit in terms of the number of youth that we trained. We, in some cases, did a double count in terms of quarter one and quarter two, and we fixed that. That's in the annual report then. And going forward, you'll see in the APPs we have now fixed that. On budget side, Chairperson, our actual expenditure last year was 335,836,000. Our allocated budget was 343,000,000, so we spent 97.8% of the allocated budget. Chairperson, I think as Minister said, we were briefed to give you a broad overview. We'll ask Ms. Duran Galan to take us through the presentation, and as I said, it just touches on some of the main elements of the APPs and the different programs. Thank you, Chair.
Under
So, as mentioned, the department performs oversight over the entity, and we specifically look at the time frame and compliance submissions in terms of Section 28.3b and 29.3b of the Western Cape Liquor Act. You will see various APP indicators relating to submissions of the annual business plan, the annual report. We also look at quarterly performance, both on performance information and financial information, and we have specific monthly monitoring tools in place in line with the transfer payment agreement that we have with the entity. A key project this year is that the department is in the process of reviewing the Western Cape Liquor Act and the regulations. You will see that there's a new indicator this year in that we have to provide full progress reports on the review of the Act. This is also, this was a resolution of Cabinet in April 2018 that the Act be reviewed, and the department was in task to be the lead of that process.
There are four directorates that are linked to the Secretariat for Safety and Security Chief Directorate. The one directorate is Police Monitoring and Evaluation, then Policy and Research, Community Police Relations, and Safety Promotion and Partnership. One of the key projects that we are undertaking this year is the review of the Western Cape Community Safety Act. Just to give you some background, among the various initiatives undertaken to strengthen the Western Cape government oversight over policing, the most notable is the Western Cape Community Safety Act. The Act was assented to by the Premier on the 5th of April 2013, and the Act came into full operation during October 2016. With the promulgation of the final sections of the Act, the approval of the regulations to the Act came into effect during 2016 and 17. The Act is now fully implemented by the Department and is currently in the process of being reviewed. We are proud to say that we are the only province that has Western Cape Community Safety Act. Then in terms of the policing needs and priorities, the aim is to influence the allocation of policing and safety resources in the province through determining the provincial policing needs and priorities as mandated by Section 206(1) and 2 of the Constitution of the Republic of South Africa, read with Section 23 of the Western Cape Community Safety Act. The process affords communities and stakeholders the opportunity to express their particular safety and policing needs. During the current financial year, we will be conducting our policing needs and priorities on a district municipal level, and we will then submit a report to the National Minister to influence police resources. One of our key projects that we have rolled out is our Commission of Oath volunteer project. The project forms part of the Western Cape Government's Active Citizens campaign. Hence, the aim of this project is to release functional uniformed police members from merely certifying documents in the community service center at police stations and to rather do focused crime prevention patrols, thereby increasing police visibility and safety. The department will, on an ad hoc basis, as part of the government employee volunteer campaign, release government employees during office hours. We hope that this project will be rolled out to other departments within the Western Cape government. Since the inception of the project, which was launched by our former Minister of Community Safety, who is now the Premier, and that's also in there, he launched the project on the 12th of February 2019, and since then the department has supported a total of 12,631 citizens. So that's the average of 131 citizens per day and 655 citizens on average per week, thus freeing up to an estimate of 18 functionally trained police officials to perform crime fighting duties. Another program of ours is the Court Watching Briefs program. In terms of Section 206(3) of the Constitution, the Court Watching Briefs project was launched in 2013, and in 2014 the project was approved by Provincial Cabinet as part of the department during a Cabinet meeting held on the 6th of August 2014. The Court Watching Brief project entails regular visits to courts by appropriately qualified members of staff during which the conduct, efficiency and effectiveness of the steps regarding the criminal cases presented to court is monitored, recorded and reported. The project has been expanded
to 42 district courts throughout the province. Regular reports are submitted to the provincial commissioner, and the provincial commissioner has provided us with responses in relation to our findings, which include at times disciplinary action taken against members where appropriate. The youth work program, in line with the PSG 1 to create opportunities for growth and jobs, and PSG 2 improve opportunities for youth development, the department recruits youth trained by the Chrysalis program with the objective of giving them work placements over a period of at least 12 months through various public safety partnerships. The work placement allows a further opportunity for these graduates to obtain work experience and skills. The department partners with the EPWP program to support the youth with a stipend during their placement. The department administers the entire portfolio of implementation of this program, namely recruitment, placement, liaison, payment, administration, monitoring, and evaluation. So the latest graduation that took place of the Chrysalis Youth was on Saturday, and over 200 youth graduated, and they started their work placement the past Monday, and they have placed in various institutions throughout the province. The department would then pay the stipend for the duration of the placement. To date, Chrysalis has trained over 9,000 youth in the Western Cape. The next is specifically the Chrysalis Youth Development Program. The Chrysalis Youth Academy aims to contribute to youth development across the Western Cape through the promotion of social consciousness, values, and attitudes in an estimated 630 young people between the ages of 18 and 25. The focus of the program is to enable personal growth, acquisition of knowledge and skills through training aimed at empowering youth economically, morally, and spiritually. The next, the Expanded Partnership Program. This is a program and a tool that has been developed as a funding model to support community police forums in the province. The EPP is a flagship program of the department, and it's aimed at enhancing the efficiency and sustainability of CPS in the province in accordance with Section 6 of the Western Cape Community Safety Act, and is aligned to Section 18 of the SAPS Act. It intends to promote the activities and functions of the CPS, building strong civil society structures, which is critical to the success of safer communities. The EPP has allowed the department to guide CPS in the performance of first-level oversight of the police and the building of partnerships between the communities and the police. The EPP as a funding model has been supported by the South African Police Services, the National Civilian Secretariat Police Service, as well as the Provincial Board of CPS in the province. The Youth Safety and Religion Program. The Youth Safety and Religion Program is a holiday program that takes place during the June, July, December, January school holidays. The program was first implemented in 2012, and is currently in its 8th year of implementation. The program aims to keep youth in high priority crime areas off the streets and alternatively provide them with recreational activities, life skills, and safety plans. The department partners with faith-based organizations in the target communities, and these organizations serve as the direct implementers of the program. In this financial year, we have allocated a budget of 7.4 million to faith-based organizations to render the Wise RC program. Thank you.
Morning. Security Risk Management. Security Risk Management has three Director Security Advisory Services, which provides advice relating to security to all 13 departments. And then we've got the Provincial Security Provisioning. It's a physical access and the security support team that's deployed at events. And then the Neighborhood Watch Accreditation Director. Some of the key projects we are doing is Security Goes Tech. The aim, the department strives to improve and enhance the safety and security of the staff and visitors to Western Cape Government, and that's with the visitor management system. So as to soften the approach when entering Western Cape Government facilities, you will find the kiosk where you can actually then self-register, and some Chrysalis graduate will assist you then with the registration. So you'll then, when the person comes to register, you'll receive an email, and then you can come and fetch your guest. They will also allow the visitors, then will also be automatically logged out of the system when they leave the building. So we'll know at all times who is in the building and who comes in and who leaves the building. That will also assist with occupational health and safety. The other key project is the Western Cape Government Security Control Room. We've got roughly about 350 cameras in the CBD that we monitor from 4 Dorp Street camera, and received some major upgrade. So we've now taken us about 7 years to move onto the Western Cape Government's IP network, and so we actually now have access to any camera that's got an IP address. We can remotely access from our control room. So we're actually busy now with this enhancement to look at where we can actually monitor sites from 4 Dorp Street in the province, school cameras or hospital sites. So that's something we're also moving towards to optimize technology. The second key project we are focusing on is the Neighborhood Watch. That's the Neighborhood Watch Accreditation and Support. It's an initiative of the department and it's aligned to Section 6 of the Community Safety Act. It aims to regulate and support the functioning of accredited neighborhood structures in the Western Cape. The Neighborhood Watch project is founded on a whole of society approach to crime and violence prevention. In this way, Neighborhood Watches are encouraged and empowered everyday citizens to engage in preventing and responding to crime and violence in the community. Neighborhood Watch communication strategy and safety branding is part of a broader initiative to effectively communicate the department's strategic objectives in increasing safety with linkages to the Community Safety Improvement Partnership, which encourages engagement and partnerships with community members and various stakeholders to become safety ambassadors. At this stage, currently there are 314 accredited Neighborhood Watch structures in the province. The program Security Risk Management, we got a project with the K9, establishment of K9 unit. So Western Cape Government, together with local governments, have been grappling with complex and seemingly perennial societal issues such as poverty, substance abuse, and crime and human development within specific areas. The resourcing of the K9 unit aims to tackle safety and social challenges relating to narcotics and the poaching of marine resources that are prevalent in the Western Cape and municipal areas. DOCS and the local authorities have entered into a partnership to develop a local capacity for K9 units at municipal level. The agreement is supported by a transfer agreement that has been signed by the relevant authorities and guides the development of the business plan. The department has held funding for the establishment of the K9 units, the City of Cape Town, Overberg, and Swartland municipalities. Currently, the Swartland municipality is busy with, have recruited and appointed personnel, and they are intending to do in August and September do the training, and St. Overberg is also in the process of recruiting and the procurement of staff. And the City of Cape Town, we supported their current unit with overtime that they could do additional operations and assist provincial traffic, especially at way bridges. Thank you.
Chairperson, the last slide speaks to the two APPs that we also have this year to review the Western Cape Liquor Act in line with the white paper on alcohol harms reduction, as was approved by the Provincial Cabinet in 2017, as well as then the updating of the Western Cape Community Safety Act. If I may also just a few comments, just to add to what the line manager said, on slide number 18, Chair, just to mention that our neighborhood watches, the 340 neighborhood watches, we have about 11,500 accredited members. These are all people that have undergone the vetting process by the police. Then also slide number 15, Chair. That's just the Chrysalis program is now fully accredited with SACITA, as well as the the youth work program. Our payment system is a one of a kind. It is now approved by provincial treasury. When we pay EPWP, we don't make use of a third party. We pay we make the payments directly, and that payment system, after a long battle, has been approved by National Treasury. Then also on the slide before that, number 14, the court watching bridge. We are very proud, Chair, to mention that Minister Kele has now approved the court watching briefs as a national project of the secretariat. Chair, and then all of this happens, and I'm mindful that we have the previous Chair of SCOPA here. All of this happens under the accolade of 10 consecutive clean audits for the department. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you to the department and the MEC. We have also noted that the department and the members have asked a number of parliamentary questions in holding government accountable, but I will also allow questions at this time. I will take a round of three per person, indicating so it's Mr. Christians, Member Bota, Member Kama,
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, Department, for the briefing. There's a lot of questions I want to ask, but I'm not going to ask all of them. Sadly to say that, our community is in dire straits, and if I look at the vision and the mission of the department, it seems that the department is doing nothing when it comes to the safety of communities. Now, I'm not confused with the roles of the police and the department. I know the roles. I'm an old member of this committee. I'm just saying, if you look at it, you don't see the difference the department is making on the ground. We still have murders, and we still have all of those type of things. When I look at the constitutional mandates of the department, to monitor police conduct and also to look at the effectiveness and efficiency of police. We don't have, I know there's other, we've got a shortage of police. Police is not doing their work. There's a lot of stuff and pertaining to the police failing our people and to the point that the army came in. I want to agree with the minister. We all know it's just not a policing problem. It's deeper. It's a social problem. And that's why I the ACDP is on record to say we're against the deployment of the army, because we believe that the needs is vast on the ground. So that's why I agree with the whole of society approach, and we need to do all of those things. But it's almost like the department is non-existent when it comes to the safety of our people. And if I look at the core functions, it's nice words, but it's very difficult to comprehend and to see what the department is doing. I want to compliment them, because I know the court watching briefs was a good thing, and they're doing excellent work when it comes to court watching briefs, and I must compliment them on that, for doing that. Just to explain the youth safety religious program, for years also I have a problem with that, because it's a stipend, it's a small little that you give to those people, and you it's just to keep the children on the road. In this committee previously I've asked, isn't there more that you can do when it comes to just keep taking the kids off the streets, so you'll have to look at that budget and instilling other values into those, because then we're talking about the social ills, helping individuals to make better choices. So I know that for me was a problem in the past, so I hope that they've worked on that and doing something. Again, you will hear me in the House, and year in and year out say, speak about the neighborhood watch. So now I see we're down to 11,500. We were up to 14,000 last year. 20,000 was said the end of December. So now we're back to 11,500. And I know there was an explanation given, because you lose some members. But why can't we retain these people? Because you were at the point at 14,000.
the plans were 20,000 at the end of December, and now you're back to 11,500. Because I think that is a critical role the department can play when it comes to addressing the problems. Because these people are from the community, they can make a difference in society. So this is definitely a tool that you must utilize, and we cannot lose our people. And again, with two more last ones, the community police forums, are they capacitated? We have the 150 and some of them comply, then they don't comply, then they get funding. Did you sort those type of things out? You know what I'm talking about. Then they don't comply, then they don't get funding, then they get funding. Those type of things, because they also play a critical role when it comes to policing and monitoring police conduct and those type of, and crime initiatives, because that is your people that you need. That is where the department, and I will, Minister Fritz was not there, but I will fight for a bigger budget for this department, because I believe they can do much more with a bigger budget, so I will be hampering on that for a long time. And then just in closing, if you can just tell me about the cameras that you have. I know it's not the same cameras as the city, doesn't make a difference, and I see it's monitored and so on. Where's this cameras? Maybe you can give us a list later on. And the K-9 unit, you're investing money in the K-9 unit. I know you don't have, so you're working with the city of Cape Town, Overberg, and the SWAT municipalities. How does that work and so on? Because that is also another critical issue where you can, you know, with sniffer dogs and those type of things. So there's a lot of pluses. But I'm asking myself the question. I do not see it makes a difference when it comes to the killing of our people. Thank you, Chief.
Thank you, Chief. I'm latching onto member questions, and I want to just speak to the vision of the department. I want to ask, is the department achieving the vision that you have, and with regards to the relationships with other departments, how are you achieving, what is the synergy that is there? And I'm latching on to what Member Christian is saying, that the perception and what we read in the media and what's happening in the community is increasing, the violent crimes are increasing, so I just want you to speak to that. And then your youth program, and I'm not really sure the question that I'm asking whether that would fall into that, but I just want to know whether you know, maybe during the last financial year, in terms of numbers, how many children were involved in crimes committed during a school day or school days, and during school hours, do you perhaps have those numbers and the types of crimes that they were involved in during those periods? If you have the numbers, Chair, I think I'm going to stop there for now, but I'm requesting of you whether I can do follow up when the department responds to it. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Chair. Let me also welcome the presentation. You know, in actual fact, Chair, when the presentation was made, you get more, I think I'm going to take it from what Member Christians was saying, you get more frustrated because on paper it seems like we have what we need, but really does not translate to the crime scene that we have there out there in the community. But I just have, I think, two questions, Chair, which is also informed. I think I'll focus my questions on the issue of capacitating safety partnerships with communities and stakeholders. I want to get an understanding in terms of, I understand that the neighborhood watches, there's a process of accreditation, and I think maybe after 2 years there's renewal thereof, or application for renewal. Now, I want to understand, in terms of the process, what then happens. Is there space for, let's say, a dispute process for communities? Because I think we also have been hearing in some instances where you find that the very same neighborhood watches are distant from the actual communities. In others, you find there are conflicts, between the civics and the neighborhood watches, and that really is something that would not want, because if that is the case, it means that there's not going to be any effectiveness. So I just want to understand, is there a process of those disputes? Second to that, which I think is linked to that, is the issue of, I think, Minister, is one of the questions that I asked, which you responded to, the issue of the CPFs. If you remember, Mr. Gideon, in the summit, when you had started speaking, there were people from the CPFs who were making noise, which actually bothered me, without knowing what is really the dynamics of what is happening. But the worry is, hence I asked the question as to, are there any tensions between the CPFs and the department? But the idea is that we need really to be working together to solve the catastrophic crisis that we find ourselves in. So I want to follow up in saying that I think Minister indicated that there's generally a good relation with most of the CPFs participating in the EPP program, and citing a less, I think about five that are not. So the question is around as to, beyond them not wanting to report to them, because what I did not get is that in which areas are these CPFs? Because I would want to understand, you don't want a situation that we have good relations with CPFs in areas that don't have really high crime challenges, but you find out the five is in the areas that we have problems where we want to solve. So I want to understand as to, beyond them not wanting to report and beyond the little money they say comes from the department, what are the other challenges that are raising? Because I think it should be on us to try and resolve all the challenges that are there. Otherwise, we are going to spend the next 5 years, it is still 5 years, talking about the same thing, trying to resolve the same question. So that's the question that I have. The second last chair question is on the K-9 units. I think there has been a discussion around police resources, and the question of school resource allocation in the province. Now, I want to understand, I think I'm reaching also on the question of Member Christians as to, where do these K-9 units really operate? Because we would not want us to put the money that is not there in a K-9 unit that will be sitting in some highway that has only three cars that are passing in an hour, and really there's no effectiveness in terms of trying to fight the challenges that we have in terms of crime. So where are these K-9 units meant to operate? I think the understanding that I also get earlier is that in other municipalities they are in a process of recruitment and all that, but where are they meant or desired to operate, so that we know how do we measure them in the future. And lastly, I think it although it did not really feature well in the report, but I take it from the session that we had also, Chair, with the Agriculture Committee, around the issue of safety plans. I just want to get an understanding, because really in the session we had, you get one person saying there is a safety plan, one person saying there is no safety plan. So I want to understand that in terms of the municipalities, whether the districts, are there safety plans? Because this will also be linked to the, I think, the 5 million rand that the department has raised in the interministerial team that is set up by the Premier, to understand as to where are we putting the money, because there has to be a program, there has to be a safety plan, so that we understand what, not just throwing the money. I think in our engagements with Minister, we always say, let's not play politics with the issue of crime. Let's get to the table and make sure that we deal with crime once and for all. For us to be able to do that, let's measure what is our preparedness, our putting the money in the right place, so that we expect a different result. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair. My question is on the neighborhood watch. I understood that there's 11,500 neighborhood watches. What I would want to know Where are they? I thought that it's a project that is in the pipeline, but as I hear members speaking, it seems as if the project is already continuing. The question that I'm now having is, where are they based? My second question is on the Chrysalis Youth Development Program. Are rural areas benefiting from these programs? I thank you.
Thank you, members. I will allow Member Marie.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would like to know, how do you evaluate the success of your programs? What are your markers? What do you look at to see whether Chrysalis is successful, whether police forums are contributing to reducing crime, and how much money do you spend actually on personnel and how much on actually capital expenditure like CCTV cameras to watch? I don't see anything in the budget. I just see wages. So I would like to know, what is the department doing also about the fact that the court ruled that cannabis can now be grown as long as it's in your house and no policeman is there to see that you stick to 5 grams. So you can actually cultivate 10 kilos. And that judge don't know what happens to the man after he leaves his house. He says you can grow it as long as you smoke it in your house. But I would like the court to tell me what happens when a man leaves the house under the influence of cannabis. And what if this department has got a role now to oversee liquor licensing? Liquor is a lesser evil than smoking cannabis. So, I know that we have a liberal constitution, but we also have a Christian country. And the two will have to find a middle way between that, being liberal and concentrating on the rights of the individual, and being a Christian community who look at the rights of the community and not the individual. So my question is, first of all, what are you doing to evaluate the successes of Chrysalis? Has Chrysalis made any dent in youngsters, the number of youngsters that joined gangs, or not? Or have the numbers of gang members increased in spite of Chrysalis? Then Chrysalis is like preaching to the converted then. Did Chrysalis take young people that's already well adjusted and just make them more well adjusted? Or did they take a rotten apple and make something of them? I'd like to know that, because I'm very interested and I have a lot of faith in this new minister. I know how his heart beats. I've seen him perform for the past couple of years. He's community driven and he's looking after what is in the welfare of all the people. But these are pertinent questions, Mr. Chairman. What are we doing to empower community forums, police forums? What can they do that they're not doing now? Can they, for argument's sake, and I asked the question in the other committee, can they be empowered to take down affidavits from people? People who don't want to go to the police station, people who can't get assistance there. The community forum, with the help of NICRO, can be used to take down statements of people who have complaints. And those statements will then be taken to the police station. The public will get assisted in compiling such affidavits or get legal advice. Can we use NICRO? Make officers available to NICRO at centers where abused women can come and lay complaints. Because that will help a great deal. When I had the position of Minister of Social Services, I opened Saatchi Bartman during my tenure, and I gave NICRO an office there, free of charge. And NICRO did wonderful work. People come there, they don't have to go to the police station, they go to NICRO office. They at Saatchi Bartman Institute. And there they handled their legal rights, I've explained to them, and charges are made against husbands. So all I'm saying is, Let's look at the total picture of what this department is supposed to do. And do you tie up with the city of Cape Town, who has an ops room where they can watch crime in the city center on CCTV cameras? I know that they can see if anybody in Wave Street or Adderley Street is tampering with a car. They watch them all the time and instruct the Metro Police, go and see there in Wave Street, there's somebody robbing somebody, and they grab the guy. Is there coordination between you? Thank you.
Thank you. I'll also allow Member Van Poorhout before the department.
Thank you, Chairperson. My two questions is on the youth program. I need to know, in the presentation, it was mentioned that you recruit 9,000 youth. So I want to know how many was from the rural areas, and then also, out of the 9,000, how many was placed in full-time employment?
Thank you. I am also partly covered, but I would like to know regarding the CPFs and the role that, that the department will play, considering the numerous comments ranging from Member Christians down, and the role that the department will play in the CPF elections, but also for a practicality point regarding the neighborhood watches. In terms of a neighborhood watch, is it a neighborhood watch that needs to reach out to the department, or is the department somehow actively involved within the communities and field workers sourcing members that would be available to the neighborhood watch, and how does that process work in terms of recruiting people and encouraging people to actually form neighborhood watches? Thank you. The department may now
I suspect, I think I need to make a couple of overall comments from that. I think a kind of there was a theme emerging from all members. And it's a very interesting theme because, Mr. Chairman, you know, 9 years ago I was in this portfolio for a year. And when I met this portfolio the first time, I must say it was a portfolio that sat back. As I said, this is not our mandate. They said our mandate was to monitor this, monitor, you know, the monitoring. Now, oversight, though, that someone spoke about the Constitution here. Honorable Mayor, spoke about the Constitution. And I must say to you, I came back 9 years later. And what members are saying, I wonder if Dobbs wasn't there, I wonder whether there would have been mass murders on the Cape Flats. Because when I came back, the structures involved in what was set up as a support to community structures, like CPS, and like neighborhood watches. And yes, we all work for communities. You will know it will be 14,000 now. Tomorrow someone will steal the money. And then you, those people here in front of me, expect us still to pay. Then after stealing the money. Now, unfortunately, we are governed by rules, by Auditor General, that when you try and do something, you get a qualification. And we have 10 clean qualifications. The 10th one. And part of that 10th clean qualification of all the findings is because we are so serious about good governance, and of course we must balance delivery. And my point I'm making is, you know, I always think of social development. And let me tell you, I was there, so that's why I know what I'm talking about. We spend R1 billion on NGOs, and any one of you will tell me the impact of that. You hear what I'm asking? And I'm saying in this department, far less, the whole total budget is 300 and something million. I'm not the sun.
It's peanuts.
And the big problems we're having on the campus. And it's precisely because of this department, ladies and gentlemen, honorable members, because we had the Khayelitsha Commission. Asking the courts and the commission, remember it was dire. The member Christian is correct, and he was co-chair when this happened. It's dire in there. But the fundamental problem is the one of under-resourcing of police stations. We asked, remember the Khayelitsha Commission? The Khayelitsha Commission made a pronouncement on it. Still, we have the same situation. After that, we have now a dispute with the national government. To say we're doing nothing, you know, it's a bit of a about the prophet in the Bible. that's not recognized in your own country, you will always recognize in another place. Gauteng sees our value. KwaZulu-Natal, they all are coming to Cape Town. And I'm one of our members, I really want to say to you, last week at the Chrysalis, and I wish, and I really, Mr. Chair, we must invite all the members to a graduation of Chrysalis. Because it's easy for us to sit here and, you know, our children are not the problems that Mr. Marie is talking about. Mr. Marie, to confirm, honorable member, those are people on the brink. In fact, many of them have fallen on and off. They died, and it's not the fault. And many of them were brought back. Work, the program is such that you work with a family, you work with a mother and father. You see mothers cry at the graduation. Fathers cry when they see that same boy with a long hair and a slap brook that is now marching very straight because he had to get up 4 o'clock in the morning and he had to pray in the morning. Mr. Christ, he had to say a prayer in the morning. And the scripture was read and there was also, the Quran was also read. And all of that foundation that our members are talking about, that is the, but you know, we have a 300 and something million budget. How do you get masses? 9,000 over the years, it's a lot. Because when you go into small towns, the ones who get you at the police station are the Chrysalis graduate. The ones who get you at the rent office is the Chrysalis graduate. You go to the court in the small towns, because we're working now with the MPA to also place youth there. They are the graduates, so you'll find them in the small town, every small town. The guy on the radio program, an interview, one of the members on the oversight, he will say, if you talk about this, yeah, I was a graduate, you know, it changed my life. So I just want to make that overall point, you can come to the specifics. I really want to say that, you know, and I really want to agree with Member Karma. I'm not suggesting, and I want to say I find the question in really good spirit. I don't think people are trying to play politics. I really want to say that. But I really think the complexity of all the, and I'm not making excuses, as we sit here now, I can tell you now, the person who was hijacked in Philippi on Saturday evening at 6:20 past 6, he left the farm, you know that farming area there in Philippi, and she was hijacked. A body was found last night late. Now, you know, that's what we need to do. I'm going to see a psychologist on Monday because I need the briefing. I need to snap all self from what I'm seeing in this portfolio. And so I think what we must do, and I want to really call on the members, to really play a positive role, to boost what the department is doing. Every little bit of what we're doing, you know, our religious programs, by the way, is being found because of suggestions that Mr. Christie has made in the house. That we are using the religious groups to assist us to get back to that moral foundation. Now, guys, support us when we try and do this. Don't break us down. You know, our children are dying and people are dying in our communities. Let us really move forward in a constructive way, in a real way. I want to say, when we talk around some of the issues, I also want to say that just by coming back, I think this department is doing a massive wrong. Can I just quickly touch on the watching briefs? The watching briefs, ladies and gentlemen, honorable members, you know, if it wasn't for the, what, many murders and rapists would be walking the streets if we didn't have our watching briefs. Now to ask, what is the department doing? That's what the department is doing. The department is
that minister's order is had, he's bashing on the table. I don't like his attitude. We're not here, we're here to assist.
Just one moment.
So the minister must control himself because we can all get angry if he does that again. That's not good manners.
Okay.
Don't stop.
Let us not.
Because we can meet in the other van. But your attitude, minister.
Member Christians, I wouldn't want to adjourn the meeting because I would want to have constructive engagement. But just give me one. Let us allow the minister to conclude. It was in a controlled manner until you just switched on your mic. So let me allow the minister to continue.
I'm just reminding you, honorable member, and I'm really not having an argument with the member. I'm just reminding him, he asked for religious programs and we gave it and he says we're doing nothing. I'm just saying that I'm not going to speak to him, man. I'm not having an argument with you.
I didn't say that.
But I'm just saying the point. So, ladies and gentlemen, honorable members, all we're saying is our religious programs, we will continue with the religious programs. We will roll it out because we have lost the moral foundation in our communities. Sorry for getting excited because I see the members are very offended by it. Honorable members, I must also say the CPFs. As one of the members, I think member Gama indicated, and I wanted to explain the difference at police station, at customs station, and at the port. The problems at police station, where matters most, is fine. It's that 95% is at that level, where the precinct is dealt with. The cluster, I think mostly fine. Really also fine. I think it's at the board level, where they have their own disputes. And remember this, some members suspended, not some. But I think we must sort that out. And moving towards the elections coming up, I think we're going to sort that out. I think members now serve 5 years, and people must now democratically be elected to, but to a new term of another 5 years. The capacitation of that will always go on. I think this has been member Christians asking about the capacitation of CPFs, of also the neighborhood watches. And as I say, the numbers from 40, it will fluctuate. Because we work in the government. You know, we really have to also adhere to our Northern standards, specifically where finances are concerned. We cannot spend money and no one can prove where we spend. So I think, I think it's a question that one of the members, I think it's member Windvogel or the member who asked around, are you actively also promoting it? I can just say, we had a speed date with the cabinet, at all the municipalities, every single municipality. Because I think that's another interesting question that the member asked. And in that, we've promoted the idea, guys, come at your level, let communities, if they are communities, let them join neighborhood watches and ask us for assistance in the accreditation. Because I think that accreditation is very important because that's vetting. What we also find, criminals are infiltrating these organizations. And when you do the vetting, you actually see who got criminal, very serious criminal records. So I think that will continue. Remember, Bota, the question you asked around, the perception of violence, youth programs, do we know how many children? I think we can get those figures around how many children are. And social development also, as I think you will know, that they have the kind of numbers of people actually doing diversions, children also in incarceration. And children awaiting trial, and children, but I think we had figures in this week. I just did a release on the on children behind bars. So I think we will get that for you. We also want to talk about, I think you asked, and I think the issue around Christina's youth, and I think that was another theme that emerged. As I said, I think sometimes we, and only when you attend, but you must also come when the intake happens. Because then you see the youngster coming in with his pants hanging and, you know, the hair and the clothes. And then when we give structure, routine, and just a little bit of discipline, and I'm not talking about school banging, beating anyone, just pure discipline and routine, it's amazing the difference it makes. Because remember, you and I can go now to Manumba. We can go knock on the door, it's now something to attend. There will be, if you knock on the door and I've done it, how many children are still sleeping, are supposed to be in school or youth at 16 or 17, still sleeping, laying in bed. What the mothers there though? Not parents, the thing they're there. So I'm just saying, that's the routine that we give through Priscilla's. You know, we had a very interesting experience this weekend at the graduation. The Deputy Director General, Mr. Nesipali, from Social Development Minister, I've invited Minister to Zulu personally to for their graduation. And she said to me, I'm coming, I'm sending someone. She said that most senior member. That man was so impressed that he's now going to look at how this Christelis assist other provinces in rolling it out. But remember, we had at the end of the year social development, at the end of the year camp, that we know the other multinational, they only spend part of it on money. So now that we use that to see how can Chrysalis, how can we do the camp through the facilitation of Chrysalis? So I think the National Department of Social Development, and this is the other point I could want to talk about. I think it was Member Christians and Member Maria who perhaps asked, what is our approach? You can't win it alone. The Member Christians is correct that you can't win it as dogs can't. Mm-hmm. Dogs is a triple in the ocean now. We need to, and this is our collaborative approach now, we need to, and actively, and it's not gentlemen's agreements, we mustn't say, oh, we're going to do it. We need to sit with social development, sports and culture, in a structured way, of docs, economic development for jobs, you know, to make that the environment correct for people to come and invest and bring tourism to our areas. In all of that, we need a collaborative approach to fighting crime. Youngsters must get an alternative to gangsters. Unfortunately, the gangsters are so powerful. We have seen even at our liquor, you talk about liquor, at the liquor tribunal, how powerful these gangsters are.
Allow me to just quickly interject.
Yes.
If you can get to the specifics.
Okay.
Because I am aware of time.
So quickly, that was Minister Marie, Mr. Kama, the capacity partners of the neighborhood watches. They will become far bigger partnerships with the professionalization. Remember, I think you also asked in Parliament, because what we're doing there, is why are we paying this private security all that money? Why can't the neighborhood watches be professionalized to the level that they can guard our schools, they can guard the clinic, they can do the community safety, and we're looking at that. Then the K9 unit, as you indicated, is in three areas, and Swaziland is also assisting with a metro, not a metro, but a police service right there, and the K9 unit. We're also looking at every municipality. When we met the municipalities, we looked at all of them. What are their safety obligations and how can they assist us with that? The 5 million, Mr. Gava, is exactly that. You know, as we're working through the 5 district municipalities, and it works very well. Safety plans is now going to be submitted to them so that they can make sure and oversee that. And then I just want to quickly talk to Mr. Marie. And yeah, we spoke about the CPFs and that about Chrysalis and cannabis. Again, I think liquor is worse than sometimes. All of them are worse as bad. Because we've seen the families break down, and you remember you're quite powerful with family relations. That's why we want to use the liquor board far more powerful, where we want to close these big companies that pump liquor into our areas. We need to also look at an approach to cannabis properly and really look at that. Honourable Member, asked 11,500 where they are based. They're all over. They're based in neighborhood watch members in any area through the province. And our rural benefiting, I can tell you, we now get blocks of 50 from Ocheron, 50 from George, 50 from that nice area there at the top, 50 from Hezekwa coming to Chrysalis. So it's big bunch, and you can go back, you'll see they're the auxiliary law enforcement officers in those municipalities. So the training of Chrysalis is excellent. Also, remember, Vinfuoco Youth 9000, yes, I did from all over and from that. And Regan Allen, neighborhood watches, yes, we go actively and promote. We have our own units working with accreditation and active mobilization of neighborhood watches. So I just, yeah, thanks very much.
I am delighted actually that there is robust and there is some heat in this room, because like the opening remarks, that crime is real. And in terms of the rules, I need to obviously hold that this committee meeting runs smoothly. So for the report, I would encourage the minister if you should not do that. In that regard, I didn't want to stop you earlier on in order for sake of time. But I'm going to allow Member Christians to make a remark or ask a question. And I remember Member Bota, or you still wanting to ask a follow-up. But let me first hand over to Member Christian.
Let me just apologize for my conduct. Apologize. But let me just say this, Chair. You know, everything that we've asked was
We represent communities. People come to us to say, you sit there, what are you doing? You're not addressing. So when we talk, and I mean, if you looked at all the members sitting here, we spoke, but we also said, concentrate on this. Look at community policing, look at this. So we are here not just to criticize, but we are here to support, because that is our role, oversight, right? Because Minister, you support us, you know, support us, we have positive roles. We are here to do oversight. So we're going to ask the difficult questions because we want the department to have another clean audit and to have excellence. So that is the spirit, so there's a good spirit. Just the religious programs, I've also asked in this committee, when we have these legal problems, because we had that debate also, what is the content when you give that stipend? So we are in agreement, but we are talking about strengthening that reason, because there was no content. It was just the basic thing was to take the youngsters off the streets. Now, when you have the youngsters, what do you do with them? You understand? So that is the type of debate that we're going to have, a lot of debates. But I think the minister must see our role as oversight, and we committed to work together to bring about solutions, Chairman. Thank you, Chair.
We will definitely list it as one of the resolutions to get further information. Member Botha. Member Marais,
I
will allow you 1.5 minutes, sir.
That is very generous. Thank you, Mr. Minister. I always revert back to this constitution because we're a constitutional democracy, not a parliamentary democracy. So it says children, every child has a right.
Mr. Marais, Member Marais, your mic for the record.
Sorry, sir. Must I start from the add that second, say? it says every child has the right to family care, parental care, or to appropriate alternative care when removed from the family environment. It doesn't say you can't remove a child from a family environment. It says it's his right to have those care. Now that is in the Bill of Rights. But now, this in section 36 of the Bill of Rights, it says, the rights in the Bill of Rights may be limited only in terms of law of general application to the extent that the limitation is reasonable and justifiable in an open democratic society based on human dignity, equality and freedom. Now, why can't we take gangsters off the street by law, not ask them to apply? Because they don't have parental care, they don't have food in the house, nobody works there, they're living on the streets, and they're committing crime. But in terms of the Bill of Rights, they have rights. But those rights can be limited if it is justifiable. Your department can make out a very good case that is justifiable to curb gangsterism, to remove this gangster child from that family home where he hasn't got a family. So I want to ask my question. If a child children's commissioner can be appointed in terms of law, can that be one of the first jobs we give him to investigate that possibility? Thank you.
Thank you, Member Marais. Is there any of the members that feel that their question were not fully answered? Okay, let me hand over to the department.
I'm just going to quickly just want to say to Honourable Christine, I completely with you. I think that is the point. The point is, the first stage is perhaps to safeguard, but the second one is to interrogate, and I'm actually asked whether it happened when I just came to the department, so I really want to say that it's true. And really, I want to also say I completely accept the fact, the bona fides of the support. I really want to respect, and I think you have an override. And in fact, I really want to go even a bit further and say, so, you know, I would really like to invite people to the Chrysalis program, the interns, but to some of our, to come and check the youth program, the Christian or the religious youth program, to come and to neighborhood watches, to come and check what is happening, to CPF, to see, really to come and see it yourself, because I think that also assists us in correcting some of the stuff. So thanks, Member Christians. Mr. Marie, I think there are two parts to your question. The first part of the question, I've been in social development, and we have removed thousands of children. And we have also, as I think Member Botha was asking the question, around children in conflict with the law, and they are mainly those gangs. I tell you, officer, you can ask Member Botha, I don't know whether he's still on that committee, but those places are flowing over from the removal of those youth from those families into facilities. And we've also, the accreditation program for diversions, you remember, Member Christians, around that, and the quality of the diversion programs. Unfortunately, I think that needs a bit of scarving, you know, chiseling, but I think generally that would, but I want to just make a very interesting comment. Because there is a piece of legislation, the POCA Act, you know, the Prevention of Organized Crime Act.
Yeah.
And I've met with the National Prosecuting Authority, the director of Rotterdam Crop, and I've asked them very specifically around that. And the problem is how you can only convict or get a conviction for a gangster in terms of his activities, not in terms of his membership, just in terms of his activities. So you must catch him do something to be able to convict him. But I think your point, you're making the point about children in conflict with the law, I think that is a very good perhaps instruction to the first commissioner, Child Children's Commissioner, to look at, but also to social development to look at how do we deal with children, and also stop making them professional criminals and try and rehabilitate them so they don't stay in the criminal, because that's why the Criminal Justice, Child Justice Act is there, to have a separate criminal justice system for children, so that they can get out of crime and get out and become good citizens. But I think your point is a very, very important point. A lot of our children are carrying the guns, gangs using the children to carry the guns, to carry out the crime. I think that's the point I think you're making. So thank you very much for the question.
Thanks,
Mr. Chairman.
On that note, I will thank the committee for being here. Today we realize that our time is definitely limited. It's something that we will definitely have to take up. But thank you for being here, and it's refreshments outside. To the members, it would probably be advisable for us to take the next couple of minutes to conclude our business and not leave at this time. We have less than 19 minutes.
I am an imposter, not a member of the committee, I just attend.
No, but it's good, your input.
You like my input? Thank you, my darling.
Members, at the first point, if you can double check the minutes.
Mr. Chairman, I will leave because I don't have a voting right here. I'm just an imposter.
We will see you then in 18 minutes again. Community safety. We will have then one adoption for community safety and one adoption for arts and culture, for cultural affairs later. Is everyone okay with that? Yes, going forward, we will do it that way. It's definitely a learning curve in this chair. I counted two banks and I know two banks. So I felt that if there's going to be another bang, then I will stop it. apparently, bangs must come in three. So So thank you for that, but it's clear that our time is limited. It is something that we will have to take up with programming. It is stuff that we will have to discuss with other committees as well to see how we can navigate that moving forward. But for our business now is to conclude and to populate our program moving forward. You would have a program in front of you for the 20th, the 10th, and October the 1st. Do you have any suggestions?
Chair, you're going to have a problem because I'm just thinking now, I would want to go visit that crystals. I would want to go and see, you know, not the graduation, what they're doing, and so when we go out, you won't be able to be in time for sports and culture. So I would suggest the Crystals program is one of the things that I'm thinking of, and also, you know, Chair, I'm thinking with in the past, we also then handpicked some police stations. You know, where there's high crime rates and those type of things, and they usually do a presentation. So if the procedural officer can just look at, you know, maybe members want to look at certain police stations, but I'm just thinking now, understaffed things that we look at, vehicles in the workshops, high crime rates and those type of things. So Dayanga and those people usually comes up, Mitchell's Plain is a big one, and so on. So, Chair, if you can just look at those type of things, and then I was also, it's the first time I hear, I don't know, I didn't know that we also have our own cameras, that it's monitored, because we, in the past, we did visit the city's cameras for the CCD cameras in Goodwood. So we went there, and they show you the actual cameras in Goodwood, but now I believe the province got one in Dorpstead. So those type of things we can filter in, but I don't think we will be able to do it in a program with cultural affairs after that. So that is the kind of thing that that I think is interesting, Chair. Every time I put the wrong one,
I would definitely take that up with the Chief Whip moving forward. Any additional comments?
Chair, can I ask that we perhaps get a presentation of some information on the status of municipal policing in the province? Specifically, which municipalities have metro police, traffic police, and the impact of that. And there may be a specific focus also on rural policing and what SAPS is doing in that regard.
Chief, thank you. I want to latch on to both the previous two members. And I want to say, in terms of what Member Christian is saying, the police station, in terms of the staffing issues and the vehicle issues and all of that, maybe we should also just ask them for a status update report first, and then we look at that, and then we see where we go in terms of that. And I also support the A Day in the Life of Chrysalis, for us to do that. And I hear about the time constraint that we have if we do go, but also the Chrysalis project, if we do go, an impact on the other on the other spheres of this cluster as well. So impact on that. So maybe we should have a conversation in terms of cluster that we embark on the visit to Chrysalis like that.
Members, that is what I'm hoping for. To between Masim and myself, we will then discuss and see how to take it forward. So any further suggestions? We have also received a document from the department regarding a report on the court watching briefs. We could add it in when they are able to come and brief us on it. Also on the state of detectives. And then another point is that I have engaged the department around the policing needs and priorities program. It's going to be very tricky because they come to us and they provide us with a report. But if we would want to see that in its raw form, so I'm waiting for those dates. Those dates and times will probably not line up with our times, but I will then see to circulate those dates and times because they need to do it within 16. They have to have 16 of those BNPs. And then we will circulate those dates to you as well. Any further comments to make before we... Yes. And then just for the record, we have apologies for Member Lekker
Member Lely and funded base stations.
Yes, over to you, sir.
Good morning. Thank you, Chairperson. Members, they are also, we're very close to the annual report time because we only have three slots and then it's annual report time. This committee traditionally looks at the SAP's annual report as well. It is a bit of negotiation that we do with them. It's been a bit tougher the last few years to get them to present within a calendar year. So it's normally towards the end of November, so we will probably have to request a special date for that. And we also have interaction with the Metropolis. They don't have an annual report, but what they have is an annual police plan, because they operate with a different year, I think they're from, different to us, we work. Yeah. So they would have an annual police plan, and we've had them for the last few years present, and normally on the same day we would have if SAPS is available to do the same, but also the Western Cape Police Ombudsman. They've also presented to us on several occasions. So we would also have to slot those dates in, but that would only be October, November, and I'll liaise with the chairperson for special dates. Thank you.
That concludes our business for today. Thank you.
Yes,
oh.
Yes.
Thank you. That's why we love experience here. So one of the resolutions, I will give over to what's in
okay, members would have to ask anything specific that they want, but there was a question regarding the YSRP, that's the Youth Safety Religious Program. These weren't the exact words, but what I got from it is that the committee recommends that the department consider strengthening the Youth Safety Religious Program by encouraging organizations that apply for this funding to include positive behavioral modification element in the activities. Basically, the YSRP, the department provides funding, but it's basically a stipend. So if you have 50 kids that you're keeping off the road for that holiday period, they give per child. But, and member Christians can correct me, there's no indication that there's a control over what it is that they are doing. Are they just being kept off the street, or is there actually something to encourage their behavior? And I think that is what the committee or the discussion is sort of pushing towards, that there has to be some form of element. Yeah. So maybe when you apply, say what it is that you're actually going to do. I don't know, so is that recommendation then in order?
In their presentation that they do that kind of program in a high-risk crime area, and if the procedural officer have the area where it is rolled out, can we have that area so that we can also just monitor from our side when it is done, that we, you know, that we see it really valid much. Or going forth, Chair, for the December holidays coming up, because June is gone, if we have that, in what areas would it be in December, then we can monitor that.
Chair, sorry, they also didn't give us, I didn't get enough information on the K-9 unit. You know, the agreement that they've signed, because we don't have, the farmers don't have the powers, but they're doing it through municipalities.
Mm.
So we want to know how that works.
Mm.
And also, the neighborhood watches is now on 11,500. It was 14,000. What are they doing to strengthen that they don't lose?
Mm.
Because the target was 20,000 last year. So they're losing all the time. So what are they doing to enhance that? That we don't lose neighborhood work members. Yeah.
I think the question that was answered in the heat that time.
Maybe also less heat. We don't want heat here. We want conversation. We don't want conversation. We don't want heat here. And we don't leave the emotions at the door.
Yeah.
We just want the factual engagement.
Yeah.
That is what we want. If you need to say how the emotions was left outside, if you need to go and leave it there, please take a minute to leave it there. Okay, then the other thing, that term, and I think that was misunderstood with what I asked, the question that I asked. I asked, and I want to correlate it to education, secondly. I asked, in the last financial year, the number of children, learners, that has been involved in crime on school days during school hours. Because we have our learners that supposedly to be in school, they are on the roads, they're not in school. So I want to, you know, see that correlation. So that is what I ask. I don't want to have the numbers in places of safety and, you know, secure youth care centers. I don't want that. I just want that.
And that's a form of intimidation to me, if somebody does that. So then, next time you'll be careful because this man is going to... So we intervened immediately. I thought it was very disrespectful to do that. So if I didn't address it, tomorrow it becomes normal. And then we will not be able to fulfill our job and so you must act on those type of notes.
Thank you.
Next time I won't go to me
don't allow the
dialogue.
Member Bosman must just keep Member Christian calm beside
him. I wasn't sure who was Member Christian. I was interested.
Thank you. I'm looking forward to the journey ahead. It's going to be tough. But I'm looking to learn, but we can work together.
Yeah,
so thank you. And Wasim, I want to say in your presence, Wasim is amazing.
Yeah,
thank you.
Hello. I have a question. Do we know when Paco Bakapos is going home?
I was there yesterday.
When are you seeing her again?
Next week. They said the possibility is they will do an operation in her arm.
That arm, that is not lifting up.
Yes.
So which hospital is she at? Because we want to send some flowers.
Blobeg Netke Hospital.
Because I asked the secretary to find out. Because we want to send her some flowers, but I didn't know where to send
it.
I don't like sending flowers to people in hospital.
Why
you have to take it home?
Yes.
You might as well send it to the house and they get it.
So you find it, but if you send it now, then it's going to be flawed by the flood.
Yeah, because I wanted to make a resolution in the social development. So it will take years.
Oh, my God.
Gulam.
Thank you. Good morning,
members. It is now 10:36. Good morning to the department, to all the guests. Thank you for allowing us an extra 6 minutes. It's really appreciated. I am, since the committee has been constituted, I'm Regan Allen, and I'm the chairperson of the Standing Committee on Culture and Recreation Sport. To my left is Mr. Wasim Matthews, and he's our procedural officer, and the assistant is Mary Ann Burgess, but I will allow the committee to introduce themselves, and I will start to my left, where after the department will introduce themselves, and then any guests at the back as well. Over to you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I am Peter Murray. Good morning, members.
Good morning. I'm Gillian Osman.
Good morning, I'm Mesuli Gam, an alternate member to the Cultural Affairs Panel.
Now you remind me.
Good morning, I'm Ayanda Burns.
Good morning, I'm Rachel Van Vogel.
Hold on, let's continue. Yeah.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Brent Waters. I am the head of the Department of Culture, Trade and Sport.
Goedemorgen, Andre Marie, Minister for Culture, Sport and Recreation.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Lyndon Bauer. I'm the Chief Director for Sport and Recreation.
Good morning. I'm Guy Redmond, Chief Director for Cultural Affairs.
Good morning. Jackie Bull, Chief Director for the After School Program.
Good morning, I'm Cecilia Sani, I'm the Director for Library Service.
Good morning, I'm Numan Satingayo, I'm the Director for Archives and Records.
Good morning, I'm Spencer Wau, Acting CFO.
Good morning, Paul Hendricks, Director, Sport Development.
Good morning, Sean Julie, Director, Strategic and Operational Management Support.
Assalamu alaikum, good morning, Ula Mohammed, Enterprise Content Management, Acting Director.
Good morning, my name is Thabo Tutu, Director of Sport Promotion.
Morning, Nareen Jeevan, Acting Director for Arts, Culture and Language.
Morning,
Oli Sitamoga, the director for museums, heritage and geographical names, and also CEO of Heritage Western Cape.
Stacey McLean, media liaison officer to Minister Mudir.
Thank you so much. I will now allow the Minister for any introductory comments and directly afterwards hand off to the department.
Baie dankie, voorzitter. Ek alvaar allemaal in interpreer, can I speak Afrikaans?
Dankie,
eerstens wil ek sê, baie dankie dat u oggend vir ons ontvang. Dit is ons eerste vergadering, medisch staande komitee vir hierdie termijn. So baie dankie. En ek wil ook sê, ons verwag baie ernstige oorsig oor ons, so dat ons die beste departement kan wees soos wat ons eintlik is te word. Ons is 'n baie komplekse departement, met kompleks in die sin van die verskillende areas waar soos die gehoorde erfenis, sport en kultuur met al sy onderskeie onderdele of afdelings. So, ons is kompleks, ons is 'n klein departement met min kapasiteit en ons word geweldig stretch over the whole of the province. And I'm very proud to say that we celebrate our vision, ons vier diversiteit en ons het 'n geweldige impak op ons gemeenskap. En ek dink het word onderskat. Ook so die impak van sport en kultuur op ons gemeenskap, op ons gemeenskappe is. En ons is in ons verskap en verandering wees wat Suid-Afrika nodig het. En die laatste ding dat hy want te sê, culture affairs and sport need to take up their high rightful place in our community. Not only for the entertainment value, but also for the economic development and impact that is. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Good morning, everybody. To pay the presentation, I'm going to go through the presentation. I know I've not on the meeting only have an hour and a half, but I'm going to try and be as quick as possible. But maybe I just want to, before I start the presentation, let me see. Maybe to indicate at the start of my presentation that the department is one that integrates into every sector of the society. We are doing business for rich and poor people. We are doing business for every language group in South Africa and in the Western Cape. We are doing business with rural communities. We are doing business with urban communities. We are stretching over the entire Western Cape. We call that a demographic reach that we have into every community, and we have a geographic reach into every community. And this puts us in a unique position as opposed to other departments that tend to be very sort of sector into maybe some sector of society. We reach all the sectors. The second thing that I want to first point that I want to make in my opening remarks is that while other departments deal with the misery of people, we are dealing with their joy. And that's quite the responsibility in a context where the people are jobless, they have no hope. You've got to create the hope. And you've also got to turn that hope perhaps into economic opportunity as you move along. It's quite a responsibility. We've been together as a team for a long time, so I think that's very good. As Minister indicated, we've got lots of support from the Minister for our mandate. And just to say that we're not going to cover everything inside this presentation, Chairperson. And the offer from the department is that if there's things, we run out of time, and there's things that you want to pull us back, or maybe you want to presentation on heritage, let's say. Maybe you want a presentation on a sport. Maybe you can decide. We're quite available to do that. Just indicate to Wasim. We'll come back and we'll do a presentation to the committee. So with those few words, thank you very much for the opportunity. The presentation is going to address our strategic positioning, our vision, mission, and alignment, our structure, the metrics of the organization, how big are we, where are we located, and so on, our core functions, our performance, past performance, and current performance, and the key policy and legislation affecting the department. So, as I already indicated, that our mandate is very wide, and you see the whole management team here. We have arts, culture, language, libraries, museums, heritage, archives, right through to sport and recreation. But the most important point that the parents want to make about this is that all our line function activity, it has a programmatic basis in the Constitution. So there's nothing that we are doing around this table that isn't mentioned inside the Constitution of the Republic of South Africa. And that's very important because people often question, so, you know, why are you doing this? We can show them constitutional basis. So in Schedule 4, I just mentioned it for the report, in Schedule 4 is concurrent legislative competence for cultural matters, language policy and regulation of official languages, and you can see Section 6 for provincial legislative competence. In Schedule 5, we've got exclusive provincial legislative competence in archives, in libraries, in museums, provincial cultural matters, provincial recreation, and provincial sport. Now, obviously there's a myriad of legislation that underpins the breadth of our work, and that obviously is lots of legislation, but 5 or 6 pages of different acts that underpin our work, and that is available on the performance plan. So, our strategic positioning, although all the work of the department is constitutionally defined, the core business is varied in the contents, reach, and depth, and the challenge for our department, chairperson, is how do you take all these separate, let's just say, universes on their own and make them into one universe. That's a challenge. How do we make sure that we unify our work across all the sections from the libraries to the archives, arts, culture, language, museums, heritage, sport, and recreation? One of the things that we did as a department is to ask, so what are the commonalities between what we do? And what we saw is in our analysis, we involved in talent identification, all of us, in one way or another. We involved in excellence, striving towards excellence. We involved in mass participation. One of the things that you will find in this department is that if you go into any town in the Western Cape, you will find something to do with this department, whether it's a library, whether it's a museum, whether it's in a mod center, in a school, whether it's wherever you go, we have a presence. And we also, over time, we bought a brand, we see people with our touchers on, we see people with the department's name on. So we're all involved in mass participation and we're all involved in access. We're also, as a group, all doing skills development and we're all doing partnerships and networks to develop our appropriate policy and systems. So to come to the visioning, the Western Cape vision is an open opportunity society for all. We believe that we should love the values of competence, accountability, integrity, responsiveness, caring, and innovation. And that's a very important point that I just want to pause on, to say that values are just words, and we are in the business of building values in especially our younger people. We believe that we're in that business through all the actions that we do, because a lot of our work is actually affecting a lot of young people. And these are kind of values that are universal. You can tap into these values of integrity, the value of competence, the value of accountability, the value of responsiveness. These are things you want to teach young people. That's so that when they go into the world, they actually can have and love these values. And in the things we do, we try and obviously love the values. So our vision as a department is a socially inclusive, creative, active, and connected Western Cape. I just want to maybe talk a little bit about it. So the inclusion is about making sure that demographic that I spoke about and the geographic reach that I spoke about, everybody feels included in some way. Creative is the arts and culture section of the department. The active is the sport and recreation section of the department. The connected is looking at the information stuff, the libraries, the archives, the content management, and so on. I think what is important is this word. I want to just focus on the word inclusive. So, one of the things we know is that, especially with our young people, is that they are including themselves in things that are just not good for society. And the reason that we know that they do that is because they feel that they get a sense of belonging from that. So whether in a gang activity, whether they're doing the wrong things, they get that sense of belonging and that camaraderie and that creation of that gang, and that's where they're going to. We like to believe that we're in the business of creating the good gangs. The ones where people get involved in something because I love hockey, I love softball, I love drama, I love heritage or whatever, I love art. Those are the good gangs. And what we also know from our experience is that once we get a young person interested in something, good. If that person is really interested, that person, you've got that person for 15, 20 years. You've got that person in and are excited to be. Our thing is about that in London's section is dealing with sport. And in London section, we know they can only be one Olympic champion, let's say, in a sport. But our job is to create a dream amongst a mass of children that they can all be that person. Because when they in their journey to become this champion, which 99.99% of them will never make, they grow up and they become those, they love those values that we are saying. And that, I can just say that we honestly believe that as a team and to a person in the environment, we are loving that to try and make sure that our people do actually become involved in that way. So a mission statement, taking into account the mission statement, what it does, I know it's very long, but what it's trying to take into account is all those words that I said that are common to all the sections of the department. I'm not going to go through it, but I think the most important part that I perhaps want to lift out, we want to make the Western Cape the sports and cultural center of South Africa. You know, so that really we have big events here, we in many ways there's lots of cultural activity here, and the one thing that the Minister mentioned in our opening remarks, we have the diversity, we have the whole melting pot of South Africa in our province. So it's a good place to be. So, see, this is just to show a little bit of the thinking that we've done. The next slide is quite a complex slide, it's like got lots of things. I'll try and unpack it a little bit, but it's just to show you that in terms of how our thinking is going in the current APP, which we had to develop last year, as you know, and we're doing that this year, there are sustainable development goals that the world has, universal goals, that's the top line. Then we have a Bill of Rights, there's a reflection on language and culture in that Bill of Rights. There's a National Development Plan, and there's a chapter in that National Development Plan called Nation Building and Social Cohesion. And we are, our business is attached to that chapter 15. And in fact, in case of sport and recreation, the whole National Sport and Recreation Plan is attached as an appendix to that chapter 15. So I just wanted to make the point that, our business is aligned in terms of universal world development goals, in terms of our Bill of Rights, in terms of the national agenda, and then of course in terms of our provincial strategic plan. Now, what you got at the bottom there is the current plan. Obviously, you know, the Premier has indicated in his SOPA, it has changed in some direction, but we are working on the annual performance plan that we had passed last year. This is what I'm presenting to you today. Just to say, we are grouped into two broad areas. The one is to improve education outcomes, and the other one is to create healthy, inclusive, safe, and socially connected communities to the whole of society. Now, I put this up just to indicate that, yes, there's all these, the previous slide is showing the alignment, but what you do in our situation is we try and develop indicators that show, are you meeting what it is you said you're going to meet? And we like to call them proxy indicators, and these are just some of them. So for example, if you go to this page here, and you look at that the first oval red shape, then you'll see that the objective there was for inclusive, safe, and healthy communities. And what we measured was increase in participation rate per 100,000 in population in sport and recreation, increase in participation rate per 100,000 of population in cultural activities, and what they are, they are proxy indicators as to whether you are meeting the mandate. So we take the vision, the mission, the strategic objectives, the way we align nationally, and we actually translated it into an indicator, and then under this indicator will be all the programs of the department. So every section, for example, in culture, the libraries is contributing to that, the museums numbers are contributing to that, the archive numbers are contributing to that. So the picture that I'm trying to paint, Chairperson, is to say that even though we've got this strategic positioning, but we actually have translated it into real things that happen on the ground. Every section here is running programs in that regard. Okay, so I also put down the new direction that was indicated by the Premier. So we're busy now with our five-year strategic plan for the next round. So this will be going forward, and we are in this transition time. We are in the sections for empowering people in safe and cohesive communities, and that as that work is developed, remember they said we have to develop a five-year strategic plan, we have to develop an annual performance plan going forward. We will come back to the committee at that time when we are ready to be able to talk about what are the things under that. But it's going to be the same in the sense that the same approach. We look at how we position the business, how we align to the provincial strategic players, what are the indicators, and if the programs are different. That's basically how we operate. Okay, we can leave that. I also just wanted to demonstrate that for every national outcome in the medium-term strategic framework, we have something that we are doing in the national space, just to indicate that. And maybe then turn to slide 19, which is national outcome 14, which is the major one that basically covers the majority of our business. And that is the national outcome 14 is about social cohesion, the whole question of social cohesion. And that's where a lot of our work is embedded. Now, we know that the national government is busy with the revision of the NDP and maybe for the next five-year plan. So if there are adjustments, we'll make the adjustments as there's a chance for the Okay, so then just on your organizational structure, that's just the first part of this presentation, Chairperson, was to show you just our positioning and how we see our work fitting into the mandates. Okay, so the next part is more about, okay, so what sections are we covering, what is our size, what's our reach, things like that. So we've got a cultural affairs section. Mr. Edmund is the director, sitting there. We've got libraries, museums, arts, culture, language services, heritage resources, geographical names. And then obviously we've got the archive, we've got a sport and recreation section. London is in charge there. Sport promotion, sport development and recreation, after school program. Then we've got public entities, the Western Cape Language Committee, the Western Cape Cultural Commission, and Heritage Western Cape. If we turn the page, I just want to mention about the Western Cape Cultural Commission. It is legally responsible for the registration and deregistration of cultural councils. It's also responsible for overseeing the management of certain cultural facilities that the MEC has placed under its control. The Western Cape Language Committee is responsible for monitoring the use of the official languages in the Western Cape, that is Afrikaans, English and Xhosa, by the Western Cape government and making recommendations to the MEC and provincial parliament. It also has to actively promote multilingualism and actively promote the development of previously marginalized indigenous languages, and it must advise the MEC and consult on language matters in the Western Cape. Heritage Western Cape is responsible for the identification, protection, conservation, management, and promotion of the heritage resources of the Western Cape. We take this work very seriously because obviously it fits into the mandates as I've indicated before. Chair, this is the organizational organogram of the department. I think we are full team now on our structure. I like to say that we reflect the demography of the Western Cape. When you see us, you see diversity. And I think that's really, we feel we're loving that brand, so I think that's really good for the department because it gives us a lot of different perspectives on some of the things we need. So then, these next slides, I don't want to dwell too much on it, Chair, but maybe just one or two things from it, but now I'm giving you the programmatic structure of the department. In other words, we divide it into four programs. Program one is administration. It's the corporate area of the department, the HR, the communication, the monitoring and evaluation, the finance section of the department. Mr. Julie is in charge of the operational management support. And then Laverne, acting CFO, but the CFO is Ms. Brenda Rutgers. She's on leave at the moment, so I'm understanding for today. These are the things that we just do inside of program one. In program two, maybe just to highlight that program two is the purpose is to provide arts and culture, museum, heritage and language related services to the inhabitants of the Western Cape. Under arts and culture, development, preservation and promotion of arts and culture, Guy is the chief director. Arts and culture, Nareen is acting at the moment because Jane is off sick, Jane Mololeki. That's Nareen over there in the corner. And then museum services is Mokalisi at the back. Museological services to conserve, develop and promote the heritage of the province to affiliated museums. Then we've got heritage resource management, which is also Mokalisi, to identify, protect, conserve, manage and promote heritage resources of significance under the various acts there. And we've also got a section on geographical names, it's also Mokalisi. And then language services, multilingualism, development of the previously marginalized indigenous languages,
and implementation and monitoring of the Western Cape language policy. That would be the main functions of your sections. Nareen is also responsible for also the two public entities report in to their section, and then the Heritage Western Cape would report in to my Heritage section. So it's quite a lot going on inside the area. If we turn the page, library and archive services. So we provide a library services, a provincial archive service, an enterprise content management directorate. So library service is Cecilia, and then the provincial archive, the Maza, and then enterprise content management is Ghulam. Just say Ghulam there.
What is Ghulam?
Ghulam Muhammad. He is for enterprise content management. So that would be the electronic, just to explain it, it's an electronic nature of record management, basically. Ghulam is the person in charge of
that. Just to interject, if members have any questions, to note it down and we will take a round.
Okay. That's fine. Okay. Then to move along, sport and recreation. By the way, just to say that Mr. Edmund is also the program manager for Archives and Library Services. Then we just move to program 4, which is sport and recreation. So we have under our structure sport, provision of equitable, accessible and affordable sport facilities, programs and services, and that is TABO, TUTU, is under that one. And then recreation, to use recreation to promote and encourage an active and healthy lifestyle, and school sport by assisting with structures, competitions, talent, IE and development, and MOD program to provide school going learners with a structured and planned daily after school recreation program. That is POR, POR can just indicate who it is. But then we've also got Jackie Boo. Jackie can indicate who she is. And Jackie is in charge of the after school program for the entire government, which we are running from our department. So there'll be other departments involved, like education is involved, social development is involved, community safety is involved, and the City of Cape Town is also involved. Jackie is coordinating all those programs. And obviously we've got a lot of people there, and it may be useful perhaps for the committee perhaps have a separate presentation on the whole after school environment and you know what they're doing there, and they can explain what they're doing inside that section. Okay, then we have a vacancy rate of 2.6%, active posts 571 and full 556. It's a very low vacancy rate, not much room to maneuver. And you know the government is now shrinking its employment capability, so there's not much movement. It's very interesting to see what happens in the next couple of years. But that's at least program 1 has so many people, and program 2 so many, and program 3 and program 4. We've also got what we call alternative employment. So these are people who are through partnerships employed by the department, but they're not necessarily on the permanent structure of the department. So we have EPWP programs, we have 89 people working internally and 150 external with partners. Then we've got in the MOD Center 648 employees there, partnering there with the Western Cape Provincial Sport Council. For the Club Development Program, which is a program under Tabo Tutu, we've got 24 people assigned to various federations. Then in pay interns, we've got 50 pay interns, people come out of matric and they get an internship with the department. And then we've got graduate interns, which is 11. Now, if you were to add that up, it's about 1,500 people that we have under our control. Now, even though we say alternative employment, I can say to you when things go right, they're employed by other people. When things go wrong, they're employed by us. We have to take that. So we cannot just say to ourselves it's not our responsibility. We see these people as being portions of the arms of the work that we do, and in fact, all of them are involved in the management structures, so they come to the meetings, they pick various meetings, set up with them, direct, so I'm just mentioning that point, because it's quite a widespread of the department. A geographic footprint. Okay. Geographic footprint, we are on 51 sites, and more than 300 schools. That is where we're operating, and we've listed all of them there. These are a head office, a library, the regional satellite offices where we have our archive, where it is in Roland Street. We've got a technical center, we've got museums at 28 sites. So the picture we're trying to paint here is that the department is spread basically across the way. Okay. And it sort of fits in with my other point that I made earlier. We have some presence in virtually every town. These are just more of it, just saying the regional satellite office is the next one. In Boland Metro, Southwestern Districts, Oudtshoorn and Vredenburg. Culture also has Oudtshoorn. There's one mistake here. We closed that office in Vredendal. We don't have an office in Vredendal. Is the revenue correct there? Yeah, we don't have an office in Vredendal anymore. And then seven cultural facilities as indicated there. And those cultural facilities are used by community organizations all the time. They have our hailing system and they use it for various community events. So the client base of the department is quite an interesting slide. Main clients. We put main clients and it could be others. We just listed them there. All the various clients we have with the department. Basically, because we have what is called low barriers to entry, in other words, we are in a business that every person, every family is involved. In order to make sure that we can manage that, we tend to work with organizations. So we work with arts and culture organizations, we work with universities, we work with sport organizations, and people that belong to the organizations. That's sort of an interface, and I think we've got quite a good reputation in relation to that. Obviously, Chair, things do go wrong. Department, not the nature of the department, there are things we can't control. If there are things that you bring to attention, please bring it to attention of the meeting. If there are things that you think that we can improve on, we're always looking at ways that we can improve as a department. So these are just all the various organizations. There may be others, but these are the ones that we've seen as our main plans. So on a performance, we thought perhaps just to give you a spatial footprint picture, a picture of what this picture is trying to say to you is that we have a presence all over in various ways. It's showing you just essentially the museums, the libraries, the after school footprint, and the mod centers inside the various communities or the towns. So, how do you measure a performance? What do we use to measure performance? There's a thing that we call the predetermined objective. Some people call it KPIs. Various, depending who you talk to, they have different names for it. But essentially what it is about is saying, okay, so Lyndon, you are in charge of events, like Lyndon is in charge of events, and you're doing X amount of events, and Lyndon, what is your target for this? And Lyndon will say, well, I think it's 72. 72 for a year, and then you find in an annual performance plan a target. It will say for the year we want to do 72, and it also will be broken up in a quarterly basis. So each quarter is supposed to do X, Y, and Z. And then as we go along in the year, it's a way of us managing the performance with our people. So Lennon will then break that down and say, okay, in the Oudtshoorn area, in the Eden area, there'll be three events, and then those people can attach themselves to those events. And basically, then we measure that as we go along. Now, what is really important about this slide, Jake, is to show to you that on a consistent basis over a long period of time, the department is in the 95%, in fact 98% plus range for achieving its performance. Now, Minister will know I'm a robust manager. but I believe that people should be able to come. And the staff know that. And they will hold their people accountable, and that's why it is important for people to understand where they fit into the organization, otherwise you do not get performance. So underneath this, each section will go and say, well, then he's got people working for him, and he'll say, that guy there in the Oudtshoorn office, you're responsible for this portion of the indicator, and we expect that you will bring this to the indicator. That's how you get the performance that you have. We have monitoring systems. We have quarterly reports. In fact, Jay, with the quarterly reports, we will come once a quarter, I don't know, once a quarter, but we fill in a quarterly report. Sometimes the committee will call us to talk about the quarterly report, and then you also get an opportunity to perhaps question things at that time, but certainly a sustained performance. We also wanted to show another slide, which we think is important as well, and that is a slide of over years, budget versus expenditure. We get allocated a certain amount of budget, and how do we spend that budget? We're in the 99 plus percentage range for most of the years. Now why that becomes important for us, especially as a department, is because we believe we could do with a lot more funding. So if how can you come to a committee or the government and say, you can do with a lot more funding, but you're not actually spending the money we give you? That's why that's a very important slide. And we are pushing in all our sections to look at this question of budgets. But of course you would know that there potentially could be budget cuts going forward, so obviously that also affects us. Okay, the next slide is just to show you the budget per program. We can ask questions, I'm just not going to go through the numbers, but if there are questions, we can then open up all those questions. The next slide is just showing over time how our budget has increased. We were 13, so in 15-16 we got 706 million, 736, 16, 17, 725, 1718, 1719, 18, 19, and 825 is for the current year. So on the slide, so people also say that the audit outcomes, you know, do they actually translate into performance? It's always the thing, oh, you've got all these clean audits, you've got them qualified, what does it mean? But essentially what we're doing is we're using those processes to make sure that we can live up to the expectation of the client. Because by trying to strive for this, what it just does is it lifts the whole tide of the organization, especially in the area of accountability. So accountability is not only about financial accountability, because that's one aspect, but it's also about accountability on performance. If you tell people you're going to do X, then you've got to do X, you mustn't do Y. And if you can't do X, then you have to have accountability to explain to people why you can't do it. So that's sort of, we're trying to do that, but sometimes we're more successful, other times we're not. I think that's just to give you a little bit of okay. Integration in the pipeline. The traditional Khoisan leadership role, it has been sent to the president for assent. Our information is the president hasn't signed it yet, but it will have an impact. Mr. Redmond can perhaps talk more to that. There's a policy on the customary practice of initiation. The role will have an impact on the manner in which the department conducts its work, given its responsibility for the protection, promotion, and preservation of art, culture, and heritage in the province, as well as its goals in the initiation framework. Then there's the public South African Public Library and Information Services Board, which also promotes cooperative governance and coordination across the three spheres of government regarding public library and information services. There's a revised white paper on arts, culture, and heritage. The document provides a new framework for national and provincial policy on arts, culture, heritage, libraries and archives, and could have an impact on the work. There's a draft museum's ordinance bill, amendment bill, and the bill aims to align the museum ordinance with the Constitution of the Western Cape and that of the Republic. And then there's the Western Cape Heritage Resource Management Bill. Heritage is a concurrent function, and the bill aims to draw from the national legislation while drawing on the regional specifics in terms of heritage and resource management. Conclusion, Chair, it's a complete overview of the department, but our previous president, Mandela, said sport speaks to people in a language they can understand, culture, language, and heritage speak to people in a language of identity, the arts speak to people in a language they can experience, libraries speak to people in a language they can read, music speaks to people in a language they can feel. And we believe we speak to people in the language of social inclusion. That is what we are about. That's our story. The last slide showing you ropes, and those ropes represent all the strength that put communities together. The colors represent our diversity, and we believe we present the tapestry for social fabric that people can actually stand on and actually be people that are actually.
Thank you to the Minister and the Department. I'll now allow for any members that would have a question, I would allow to a maximum of 3 questions at the first round. Do I have Member Kuota, Member Gideon, Member Marie? Member Barnes, Member Kama, in that order.
Thank you very much, Chair. I must compliment on the presentation because it was warm and fuzzy and passionate and all of the positive things. However, I want to know from the HOD and the Minister
how do you ensure that that the staff of this department out there, that they have the same passion and that they bestow to their clients the same passion and respect in terms of what you're wanting to achieve? And then also I want to know, Chair, how is this department's relationship with rural municipalities? Because sometimes we find that, you know, cultural affairs and sport is down there. It's not as you have portrayed it to be in this presentation now. So how do you strengthen that partnerships with municipalities so that they understand your department's ethos and where you are going with the vision that you have in order to achieve what you want to achieve in those rural communities, and not for programs just to happen within this metro, but it actually happens already. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair. My question is on sub-program 3.3 archives. I just want to know, my content, enterprise content management program, is that a program to digitize the archives and make them accessible to the public? And if so, is that a free service provided or is that an income generator for the department? And also, to what extent are library content becoming digitized as well?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Minister, I'm on this committee for one reason. I'm a Griqua, and I'm proudly saying I'm a Griqua. My language is Afrikaans. We have a rich history. When you say you want to encourage culture, sport, and music, are you trying to create a South African culture where all cultures are thrown into one basket and it becomes one culture, or are you going to differentiate and develop each culture separately, music-wise, names of places, that's all culture, museums, or do you think we can have a South African culture? Because I don't believe there is a South African culture. If I must ask you what is the language of the South African culture, you won't be able to tell me. Or what is their dancing methods or practices, or what food does this culture eat? You might end up with 20 or more. So, now, music is part of the Western Cape. We want our own music. We don't want American music. I want to know, what are you doing about it? Encouraging the music of Atali Peterson, encouraging the classical jazz that our guys play, the Guma Guma music, reviving the Ion group in Athlone. The Ion group was started in the 1930s. And Mozavall and all those people, top artists, performed even for the Queen. Joseph Gabriel sang with the Queen. You had Vera Gowan, all these people. What have you done to revive it? It started in District 6. It was shut down by P.B. Botha, and they moved to Athlone, to the Joseph Stone Auditorium. We taught our children ballet. We taught them opera. We charged them classical music and jazz. That all died. We want it back. I had a letter here from one of the, I don't want to mention his name, but he appealed to me when he heard I'm on this committee. You mind, Mr. Chairman? He says, dear Mr. Murray, we need to affect the value chain of the music industry to cultivate the culture of proudly South African product in the music industry. Music must be observed as a business, and realize that the necessary support from government, private and public is vital. We have the entrepreneurs. All we need is a government support. TUMSA is a sister union of COSATU. They could be engaged to brainstorm ideas and implementation thereof. The value chain consists of artists, primarily radio, television, internet, print media, festivals, promoters, entertainment, and he goes on. I would like to know, and I know the minister's office is the right place. But I said, what are we doing about it? I don't want foreign music. I don't want foreign cultures. I want to hear the music of the king. I don't want to solve the problems of the whole country. I only want to solve the problems of the Western Cape. Leave the rest to the national government. So I'm asking you, what are you doing about it? What are you doing about bringing the Cape flavor back? And the Cape culture is not only the coons. Please, we have Christmas choirs. Do they get supported? We have the Ian Group. Do they get supported? Are we looking at subsidizing and reviving the Boy Scouts movement? Thank you.
Member Barnes?
Thank you, Chairperson. Let me start with the budget, Chair. I would like to know, I see the expenditures, the consultants and contractors' special services have increased. What are the reasons for the increase in the expenditure of the consultants? My second question would be on the sporting federations. How many federations from rural communities are supported, and how many from the Cape Flats, Cape and areas like Khayelitsha, Nyanga, and Guguletu? My third question would be your ordinary children on the streets that are not involved with DCAS or in the MOD centers. How are we accommodating them in terms of giving them their sport equipment, their clothing and whatsoever? Of yet there are come na die kinderfeeste. Daar kinderfeeste in gemeenskappe wat aan gebeur wat buite die kultuur is soos in DCAS. Hoe word hulle geakkommodeer? My laaste vraag, die traditionele leiers, daar is niks in die document gesê nie van die traditionele leiers. Wat is die plan van die Weskaap rondom hulle? Hulle is nou, ek hoor nou honorable member langsam het gesê, is Afrika, maar ek hoor niks iets wat sê van die Afrika of die namas of die koisi. Wat is die positie van ons rondom die traditionele leiers?
Kama?
No, thank you, Chair. Let me first welcome the presentation. And I think also, Chair, welcome the sensitivity. And I think I will take it as a tool of trade than a gift, so that I don't have to declare it. But what I want to ask, Chair, and really, you know, I'm enthused by the Premier's approach in terms of our societal challenges that departments must work together. So my question is really from there, and I know, Chair, that, and it's not only in the province, even nationally, the departments that we think can really do the work are given small budgets. That's the challenge we were confronted with. But what I want to check is on, you know, in our societies now, I think it also connects with what Member Mare was raising earlier. We have a problem of the lack of role models in our community. You know, I grew up in Paarl. I'm from Paarl, Mbikweni. Luvuma Nyonga was apparently now the world long jump, whatnot, is from Paarl. And when I saw him on TV doing long jump, I asked myself, where did he learn this? Because we don't have such a facility in the township. Or actually even organized people that are doing long jumps. So I that question. But what I want to ask is on programs of the department on talent identification and support. It might not be necessarily financially at times from the department, but how do we support them? Because, you know, in our townships now, we have many people at the age of 25, we say, hey, this was a good soccer player. Mm-hmm. And now they are just someone who drinks and does everything that is not inspiring in the community. And that is because of there is no proper foundation and support for that particular person. And linked to that, Chair, is the question of, I know that maybe municipalities might have a bigger hand in this, but the question of facilities thereof, the work of the department in terms of making sure that the community is able to access different facilities in terms of sport. We know the problems in terms of this province used to be a rich province in terms of production of talent in soccer. In different communities that are gang-ridden now, we used to have soccer players that are coming from these communities, but we've seen the takeover of these facilities by gang activities and that. So what is the what is the department doing around preservation of these facilities, but on also making sure that community has access to such facilities. Thanks.
Thank you. I will have that again.
So, colleagues, if I must ask, can you just pick up, sitting on maple board up? How do we ensure that staff have the same passion? So, because we have a dispersed nature of our staff, obviously we can never give 100% guarantee that every person has the same passion. However, what is happening in our system is that there are regular meetings with the management, and the management has regular meetings with the staff, but also, personally, me, I go out once a year, it's normally in November, December, at least all the staff, to talk about our vision, our values, our commitments, deal with the issues that they may have. The minister is also very active in actually going out to the projects and connecting with the staff and actually developing the projects. But I think if there are interstate deficiencies, then it's better if you bring that to our attention, and if we can perhaps deal with it. But we can never guarantee that, you know, every staff member is going to have a similar amount of passion. Obviously, we're trying to paint a picture that, in fact, you guys are busy with quite a big project here, but maybe don't understand that, because we know from research that 95% of people in organizations don't actually understand how they contribute to the bottom line. So we as a management are reinforcing the question of this bottom line. You see, these things about social fiber, and social fabric, and the building of social inclusion, we are reinforcing it, and we're hoping that those people reinforce it. And we're trying to make them understand that, you know, when you're running the smart center or whatever it is you're doing, this is actually how you're doing the building of the social fabric. So the relationship with the municipality is quite strong. We just minute and I have the whole day of speed dating, also known as speed and date, where the HOD and the minister of every department met the municipal manager and the mayor of every municipality. Quite tired. We were there from half past 7 in the morning to half past 7 in the night. And we did it again 20 minutes with each, and then we moved around. We were sitting in the coffee. It was quite an interesting exercise, because then it brings up every municipality. So that's one. But the second thing is, amongst the people in the continent, they are also going out and meeting with various members. Do you want to add?
Yeah, thanks. So within our sport innovation component, everything that we do is times 6. So when we have to have indigenous games, rural games, better together games, because we have to do one in each district. And with that, it means that our district officers have to be involved in every one of them. We are also involved with the big processes, in that we have to do the appraisals with municipalities, and that's what our officials also do to create access with regards to facilities as well. So I think from my perspective, we have representation in every community. If we talk academies, we've got academies, whether it be in Madagascar, whether it be in the Eden or the West Coast area, we are well positioned in every district within the Western Cape.
Okay. And then the Bosman, Namaza and Kulam, just there's a question about the My Content digitization and whether the free service and what your intention is. Namaza, maybe you can lead off. And if the library service is also going to be digitized, maybe Cecilia, you can just speak about the whole move to the benefit of the environment and what that entails. You can go with the mic.
Thank you. The My Content is dealing with the management of electronic records. So it's from the creation of records, they need to be managed in the electronic environment. So that includes the departments, and so it's not only in the archives, it's throughout the city departments of the Western Cape government. Yes, there is part of, so for that service, there's no payment. It's a free service that we provide to the departments. And then in terms of digitization, there is a program that we are doing in the archives, where we are digitizing the archival records. However, in terms of the service of the archives is free. The only thing that people pay for is if they need a copy of a document, but in terms, there are no membership fees that are paid
that service. Okay. With the library service as such, no, we don't digitize any of our library content. We do provide digitized content though, so where books are electronically available,
or we will investigate where newspapers, magazines, we try and have subscriptions to e-resources. So, yeah.
Okay. Member Mazier, this is a question that you had asked some about, you know, are we covering all these groups and are we trying to create the African culture and are we recognizing the request and all that? The point about it is that in your questions, also the questions say, what I would want to indicate is that every entity that you mentioned, we perceive it in some way or another. In some way or another, through the arts funding, through the cultural funding, through the traditional, the work with the traditional leadership, the whole thing with Queen said, we're working with these communities in some way. And maybe we also have a cultural commission, okay, a cultural commission mandate to be able to look at the various things that they are inside this area. And the main point I wanted to make is that our department's entire being is based on the fact that we need to give a space for everybody to say, this is my culture, this is what I'm actually contributing, and that adds to the social fabric. And if you look in the, you know, in our presentation and how we actually mentioned this in our presentation, the whole thing is about social inclusion. So what that means is that if you come with your culture, you also have a place inside our own system. So all those areas, the name guy or the anyone to add anything else to that answer, but various artists, festivals, promoters, we're doing all that. We are busy with Christmas choirs, we are busy with those, we are busy with the minstrels, as you have asked, all those things we are busy with. That's just the answer that I want to give it, and if I want to add anything else.
Give me some specifics, please. Specifics.
I will allow for follow-up, sir, but please will allow the department to go.
Thank you, Chair. I think HRD has covered most of it, but just to mention, we have an indigenous orchestra that is currently being developed, being led by Jesus Lakers, and it covers all indigenous instruments, those of the San people, the Khoikhoi people, all of them, and he's doing quite well with it. He's well renowned for that, and he's supported by us. We have every year support the real dance competitions in the province and the associated music. We have a very good choral music program, which also includes the Nama choirs. So there's quite a lot we are doing, and as I quickly said, we are supporting Christmas choirs as well. Thank you.
Oh, and then maybe just to add to the one last thing, perhaps, to say you are, for example, scouts. Jackie Ball, whole program there with scouts. Maybe you should talk about the program in general, scouts.
So we have a partnership with Scouts where we're introducing Scouting in schools. So traditionally Scouts is always on a Friday evening, but in many of our communities that it wouldn't be safe for young people to be going out on a Friday evening and they don't have transport and access. So we introduce it as an after school program. We're running it in 31 schools and we train unemployed youth to be Scout leaders. So create jobs for them as well. Our first 14 staff leaders who were trained last year went to the States this year to run summer camps in the US, fully sponsored by Scouts, and the first ones are due back now at the end of August from that. So they got the training, they ran the camps, but then they also got an opportunity to work in the global youth space. And we have a new cohort of interns that have been trained this year and continue to run scouts. We have about 900 school scouts groups, and not groups, individuals participating in groups, and they all get to go on one camp a year that's sponsored by the International Scout Foundation.
Oh, I just want to add to the MOD program and the neighboring school program. We have children that participate in talent identification through the year, and then we have a production in September. And this production is going to be held at the Joseph Stone Auditorium on the 21st and on the 20th and 21st of September. And I'm sure we'll be inviting the family to work.
Okay. Member Barnes, communities that we support, just in terms of our own work. So I spent the first part of the presentation talking about the fact that we do believe we do actually have that itch. Obviously, we're not itching everybody. Because you, for example, asked the question about what about the children that's not in the MOD centers. It's not even the children that's not in the MOD centers. It's the children at that school that don't come to the MOD centers. There are lots. Because remember the Mod Centers, for example, we are doing that as a voluntary program. So what you find is the children can decide whether they want to come or not. So we have to have something exciting to keep them there. We are doing a feeding scheme inside the program as well. So we are doing very many different activities inside the program. But there's still lots of children who don't come. So the answer is we're not reaching every child. But we're trying to do as much as we can with the resources that we have. And I think what we're asking the committee to do is they should get to know about the programs to popularize that amongst your own communities and to basically tell your constituencies, look, these programs are available, please participate in the programs. That's in relation to that. London, did you want to add something?
So just in terms of also in the rural communities, we fund 132 sport federations. And out of the 132, 47 are based in the metro and the rest is based in all the other districts. So this year in April, Minister had checked handover ceremonies in Cape Winelands. We had 24 federations that came together in Stellenbosch. We had 35 in Eden that came together there. And then we also had Central Karoo, Overberg and West Coast. So in every district where they are affiliated to the District Sport Council, we funded that, and through the funding of the sport federation, the rural children that are affiliated to that specific sport federation then also benefit from the funding that is made available by the department.
Okay, then Member Bunch, you also asked something about the budget. I'm not quite sure what document you're referring to, because...
The PPA page, just 1 second, I think it's 14.
Page 14.
On the consultant, my question was, what are the reasons for the increase in the expenditure for consultants?
114.
Traditional leadership is quite important for the departments. It's one of our key stakeholders. At the moment, there are no formally recognized traditional leaders in the Western Cape in terms of the law. And as you are aware, the President is about to sign into law the Traditional and Khoisan Leadership Book. When it has been signed into law, there will be a commission set up whose duty it will be to determine the traditional leaders to be recognized within the Western Cape. Following that, the Western Cape will then develop a department, will have to look into a department or a component to deal with traditional affairs. At the moment, the only two provinces that don't have a traditional affairs component are the Western Cape and Gauteng. Although we do have traditional leaders, it's just that the formal process has not yet gone through to make sure that we have a formal structure to take care of the governance-related issues of traditional leaders. On the cultural side, we are working with traditional leaders through the Cultural Commission and the Cultural Council, and there are various programs that we are doing with them. The department recently undertook a trip following the approval by Parliament, National Parliament of the bill, to visit Eastern Cape, to visit KwaZulu-Natal, Northern Cape, and Northwest. And the purpose was to look at how they structured themselves to cover the needs of traditional leadership, both from a governance side and from cultural practices and how they are supporting them, the budgets they are allocating. The stipends that are being provided, just to look at the finer administrative requirements that we are going to have to look into as a Western Cape. And the trip has been very useful. The various provinces are doing very many different things, and the provinces with a similar situation to us are Eastern Cape and Northern Cape. I think we may have leaders emerge within the Khoikhoi communities and the Sam communities.
Thank you. And Minister, you want to speak to this is from Member Kama now.
Interesting take on more identity of the language, but in four words, I need to want him to look through
In the MOD program and the neighboring school program, we have employed many people that are actually role models. We have Wayne Julius, we have Adrian Jacobs, we have Lute Groenewald, all been representing South Africa in different codes that actually work within the program.
Member Gama, there was a question that you asked us about facilities. I just didn't get one point.
Let me allow Member Kama to ask the question again, and then for Member Barnes to also do her one, and then for Member Van Voorhout.
Chair, that the first chair there is coming in for interesting today. it was about the access to, I think there has been a cry in the public in terms of access to sports facilities in the communities, and with that I also reference to, you know, some sports facilities that are not in good condition, such that gangsters have taken over those facilities. So I was doing around protection of that and ensuring that the communities have access to those.
Member Barr?
Dankie voorzitter. My vraag is ook op die ABP. They mentioned there that the Graft Development Program is a particular focus on women. So now therefore my question is how much has the department spent on this program? And how many women
are you able to provide a page number?
I don't have my you know, you do have the, yeah. Yeah, it's page 15.
1-5,
yeah. And then how many women are benefiting? And then I need a breakdown of the urban and rural. Because it's so much important, when you bring reports to us, you need to be specific. As we've seen, ek dink die gentleman daar het ons gesê in daai area en daai area. So ons wil, want vir my is dit belangrik, hoe akkommodeer ons die rural areas, die plaas area. So ek sou graag wil sien met ons, wanneer ons report gee, dat ons specifiek is om te sê in Overberg, Swellendam, Karoo, dis die dorpe wat hierdie type structuur het of wat die support het. So dis net my versoek.
Member Barnes, are you covered?
I'm covered too.
Okay. Thank you, sir. I'll start with the facilities one, and Mr. Pichu will add anything if I get down. So in terms of the facilities...
Sir, for the record, are you able to...
Yes. Thank you. So in terms of facilities, it's municipal competence in terms of Schedule 5 of the Constitution, but what we have been doing is we've been engaging all the municipalities. We've been encouraging the formation of facility management committees, FMCs, as we call them, and with the FMCs we try to bring the local clubs and communities on board so that they can also have part ownership of the facility together with the local municipality. we have worked with all the municipalities, particularly through our equitable share, where we give funding to municipalities to build and upgrade, and then also through the MIG process, we also have the public participation processes that also take place. So whenever we need to build anything, whenever we need to upgrade, we then have a formal public participation process so that the public is then called in. We also ensure through our facilities unit, which is managed by Mr. Thabo Tutu, that the norms and standards of the national federations are also maintained. If you don't do norms and standards, it may mean that the particular pitch may not be able to hold level 1 or level 2 games, whatever the nature is, because there's a certain 2,000, 5,000 seats that need to be in a particular stadium. So from our side, we've encouraged that the members of the community must sit on the facility management committees, and in that way, municipalities, we are hopeful, protect what they value within their community. Then we also have, with the education department, we've started a program called Shared Facilities. And in these communities, which Mr. Hendricks will talk about, we have started developing facilities within a particular domain, and that then is where members of the community can have access. And I'll just ask Mr. Hendricks to talk about that, and then HOD, if we can also contribute to the women question later on, if you wish to, as well. So Mr. Hendricks and then Mr. Tutu.
Just with regards to the shared facilities, they, together with the education department, the facilities are developed at neighboring schools. So schools that are next to each other or in close proximity to each other, we assist them with the development of the fields which are underutilized. And that is currently centrally placed within the every education district. So there are 8 education districts, and we split Eden and Central Karoo, so we have 9 districts that we work in. So centrally placed within each district, we'll have shared facilities, and around about 24 schools have access to those shared facilities. We started in the Krijgsfontein area, it is now in the Lavendale area and the Malmesbury area, and then we go to Central Karoo and Eden and Cape Winelands after that. So each of these districts are eventually going to have a shared facility for all school-going children within that district.
Maybe to the question about the gender. So maybe just to say, we've given broad brush strokes. Remember, Member Van Gogh, that this is a briefing on planning. So on the reporting, you get the opportunity to call us back report, and then also in an annual report, we will have that's where we get to the specifics, like how many have we done and how many we talk to this community and that. But maybe I can ask. I do know, for example, but in the sport side of the business, it's always 50-50, because you have women in the sport and you have men in the sport. Then I can perhaps just add Tavo.
Yeah. Chair, I wanted to add on the facilities issue, that whenever we facilitate in upgrading and building of facilities, that facility is handed over to the municipality. So the department, we as a department, we don't really have control on that facility. All we can do is to perhaps speak to that particular federation to allow access in that particular sport facility.
Okay, and then Jay, I think that answers the questions, and is there any more follow-ups?
I do realize that with time against us, I'm seeing that that Member Maria has a burning question. I'm going to allow you another minute, sir, in order to ask your question, and then for Member Barnes, and then I'll hand over to the department, and we will come to
Mr. Barnes, 1 minute, please. I'm sorry that I'm stepping on toes. I'm here under mandate. I'm not speaking for Peter Marie. I'm mandated by a considerable, large constituency when I ask this question. You say you are legally responsible for the registration and deregistration of cultural councils. You've also looked at the traditional leaders at Khoisan Bill, and you've given your report to the president, right? So you're now waiting for the implementation and signing of this, is it not been done yet, number one? Secondly, what is the criteria you suggest to the Premier for recognizing a cultural council? Because some of these Khoisan's councils is two people with a fax machine. Others have quite considerable man of people. Others is a king and a queen and no subjects. So what would be the criteria to recognize cultural councils, or are you still brainstorming on the issue? Because I'm also an executive member, and I'm declaring it here, of the Griqua Royal House Executive. And they are an organization, books and books have been written about their culture, and we have our leadership structures. Must we wait until all the other groups are organized, or can you go ahead and recognize us? Or must we wait till some king there in Northern Cape is also recognized? I don't know what you were doing in the Northern Cape, because you're not responsible for the Northern Cape and Eastern Cape. I believe you went there on a visit to see how they do things. Well, let me tell you, we do our things different. I don't know why you went there. Maybe you can tell me what you hope to learn from other provinces which have different cultures to ours.
1 minute. Thank you, Chair. Chair, I'm not sure if I got my answer to the question, but I'm not satisfied. That's why I think I'm going to repeat it in a better version, my question. I want to know, the netball team there in Reenendal or somewhere in Ladysmith that is not in the federation, what kind of support is that team getting in terms of their balls or their equipment, whatever they're having, outside, out of DKF? I hope I'm rephrasing it in a better way now. My second one, I come back to that ordinary man, the young man there in Nyanga, in Kailicha. He's planning Empolweni Festival. What support are we giving to them? They are not under DKF. That's the question that I would like an answer to have.
Okay, so I'm going to ask Guy to perhaps just answer on the question from him, Marie, but maybe just to indicate that the traditional, the bowl that he mentioned, has to be signed by the president. And what that bowl does is it sets out a process for recognition. So Guy can maybe just answer that way. And then Nanan, if you can ask you to just perhaps ask answer about the netball teams and so on that are outside of the current structures. But also what I do want to say, Chair, perhaps, is that if there are instances that members know of which you want to bring to the attention of the department, then bring it to the attention of the department. So that we can maybe then have a look at it and make a determination if we can assist them. But maybe first to Guy and then to Nanan. Thank you, Chair.
As HRT has said, the bill is just waiting assent by the President. And when he signs it into law, the commission will come into effect. The National Department of Traditional Affairs has already put out a call in February for people to serve on the commission. The commission will then meet and set out criteria which will be communicated nationally, and also the processes that various cultural communities would need to follow in order to get recognition. So we will wait for that process. It's the legal process. The reason we visited the other provinces is that they've already recognized traditional leaders. Others have got kingships. Others have got budgets allocated to it. Specifically, Northern Cape is the only province without the law that has already recognized traditional leaders from the San and Khoi communities that are serving in the Provincial House of Traditional Leaders. So the Western Cape does not yet have a Provincial House of Traditional Leaders, and we need to learn from those who already have such structures and how the province is supporting them so that when we implement here in the Western Cape, we're doing it correctly. Thank you, Chair.
So thank you for the question about netball, and could be any other club actually as well. So my answer is going to be twofold. I'm going to do the first part, and Thabo will talk about the club development program as well. So the world of sport and recreation is a very organized one. All the sport and recreation bodies have to affiliate nationally and internationally. So in our case, you'd have the International Olympic Committee, and in below the International Olympic Committee, you'd have SASCOC, which is the South African Confederation and Olympic Sport Movement. Below SASCOC, you have in every province the Confederation, which would be the Confederation. Now, every federation whether it be netball, rugby, football, basketball, softball, has to then affiliate to the district sport council. So if a club wishes then, somebody wishes to start a club, they can start a club anywhere. And then that club is supposed to affiliate at some stage to their district sport council. Now we would only be able to start giving funding once they are affiliated. But when somebody approaches the department, we then have what we call the club development program. And the club development program then gives some assistance. Our funding that I referred to earlier to the federation is for administration, for development, capacity building and transport. So those new clubs that would come in would then go into the capacity building. They would then come and learn about constitutionalism, how to draft, what does the treasurer do, etc. Once we then have worked with him, we then ask the federation if they would want to nominate one of the clubs, the club development program. Mr. Tutu, can perhaps actually speak about the club development program for a moment?
Thank you, Chair. I think Member Barnes should appreciate the fact that, I would like you to do your sums and look at how many clubs do we have in the Western Cape. For argument's sake, in football, we have more than 5,000 clubs in the Western Cape, and they will tell you that we are the biggest sports federations in the Western Cape. And then you go to each and every sports federation that we have. Dr. Bauer said earlier on that we support 132 sports federations, and you might apply that by clubs. And if the department would go and help each and every club, we'll be overspent. And then coupled with those people that play on the side of the street. But with each request that the department receives, it is treated with its merits. And we sometimes say no, and most of the time we say yes. So we are open to the fact that whoever requests the department to help, we engage with those people. And in those engagements, we sometimes say no, we sometimes say yes. So the department engages with all people that play sport and recreation in the province. So by so saying, I want to say we will treat each case on its merits. Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Tutu, just one quick question. We don't often say yes. No, just to support. I think what I was trying to say is that if the thing has merits, obviously we can look at supporting. But clearly we can't help everybody, because it's just the scale of what our budget is accommodating. Doesn't allow it. And that is why in the presentation that I made, we spoke about the fact that we actually go through structures.
Mm-hmm.
And even with a club, if you've got a club there, ma'am, that's playing, but they're not affiliated, one of our first actions will try to get them affiliated. So now there's any bus, some of the bus. That's basically how we are operating. Otherwise, we will not have impact at scale. I think that's our sense. But anyway, Chief, thank you very much.
To the department, before I thank you, I do know if there's any further questions, we will sit for the next couple of minutes in order to conclude our business. But thank you so much for being here, and as you can see that the time is definitely limited, we are looking at ways in order to increase the time that we do spend with you. But again, thank you for being here, and yes, thank you for being here, and there is refreshments in the lobby area. But let me give over to the minister.
Thank you, Jay. I call it by Doki, Sir and Doctor. I will not say for father. I will not say for father.
Members, as we conclude our business, earlier on we already adopted the minutes. I trust that that is fine for this one, but moving forward we will do separate adoption for each committee. And then, secondly, you would have received a letter in front of you that was received via our procedural officer. I have requested our procedural officer to request the writer to provide us with a written submission in this regard. Once we receive that, it will also be presented to the committee and then we will be able to take a resolution on it. They are wanting to visit us, to make oral representations. However, they are not wanting to give the merits or they are not divulging information. So we have requested, I've requested a written submission in this regard. Then we can see how we take it forward. We should be receiving that in the next 7 in the next 7 days or so. Yes, based on the feedback. Yes, is everyone in favor of that? Before we just invite someone of requesting the written submission from them. Because as you can see, they are there are certain allegations that they are making, but they are not substantiating the allegations. So we would want a written submission.
Chair, can I just ask you, sorry, I've noted that the same correspondence was sent to Premier as well as to the previous chairperson of the Standing Committee. Is this an outstanding matter from the previous Parliament? Is it a completely new matter? Because I think it's correspondence to the Premier as well as to the Speaker.
Thank you, Chairperson, Member. This is a new matter. To my knowledge, with regards to our committee, the correspondence was received. Quite recent. The other letters are included for our information. So I think a letter of similar nature was sent to the Speaker as well as to the Committee on the Premier. So it's not an old matter. It's new. At least for this committee. I cannot speak about the other committee. Yeah. I think the letters were just sent as a form of interest to this committee that other persons or other committees have also been issued a similar correspondence.
Rich, even my opinion about this is I've had a lot to do with a lot of coalition organizations. They don't come to solve a problem, they come to fight. they come to erect, they come to say, to make a case of their importance. And I'm not happy with that. We have a Premier's Forum. And I think the place where this should be discussed is the Premier's Forum, where we can sit and find out, and the ministers must be invited by the Premier to the Premier's Forum, where you have a wider representation of the political party. Because I do not believe that this Ras Bergwater, he's not coming here to, he's coming here to make options, tell the media to be present and invite them and put us in a bad light.
That is everyone, yes, Member Carver.
No, thanks, Chair. You know, I don't even know what is this yet. I just read on top of it. But what I can see is that I see it sent to the constitutional, the committee of, I think it's Premier and the Constitution, and it's also sent to the Speaker. So what I was going to advise is that yes, you get that detailed representation or presentation, and you have an engagement with the Speaker and the other chair of the other committee, so that also if we were to entertain it, because what we don't want is not to entertain things that are brought to our attention, and especially when it has to do with the department that we have to exercise oversight on. But to say, have an engagement with the Speaker and the other chair of the committee, so that there is then an understanding of where can this best be dealt with after those presentation and detail has been given. Because otherwise, really now, there's nothing that you get in this document that I have not even understood.
Thank you. So, just to confirm that again, I will engage the chair regarding the chair for the Premier and Constitutional Matters Committee, as well as the Speaker, but we will request a written submission from them and see if they do send that written submission.
Chair, I have another phenomenon. Yes, this has been jumped on us now, and we have not had time to go through this, so therefore I say no, we don't. We request the information, and then only after we have that information, you know, that you are requesting, then we can deal with it. So I'm saying also don't engage with the other chairs now. Let's see what's the information, and then we bring it to this committee, and then we put the way forward.
Is everyone in favour of that?
Yes, sir. I'm just scared we can, my friend, I hear what both of you say, and you're reasonable people, but we can send a precedent. The minute we see him, it will be on Facebook all over. I have been recognized, you know, as co-leader, and I address, and you're going to get applications to come and see this committee. You'll be kept busy the whole year. I know what I'm talking about, so let's not set the precedent.
No, that is not what we will do, but...
I think just want to add to Member Marie, because I think we're on the same page, and I hear what he says. And yes, there are many formations. There are many formations. And retracting what I'm saying get the information, but I'm saying also use that portal of the Premier. What did you say?
Premier's Forum.
The Premier's Forum, where that engagement can happen. Let it then happen there. But just for us to, I mean, Chair, it has been jumped on us now. So that we, let us get the content of what you are requesting.
Regarding any request that you would like from the department, that you jotted down, or if an answer wasn't fully answered.
Can I, it will also cover this. I say that resolution that the Department of Culture and Sport should accelerate the process of giving recognition to the cultural councils which meet the legal requirements set by the traditional leaders and Khoisan Bill. Because they should be waiting on the president to sign it. All we can ask them is, and this is to do with that, that the president hasn't signed the bill. So There's nothing they can do. We can only ask him to accelerate the process.
Because the bill has not been assented to
him. Not assented to by the president yet. It has been passed by the NCOP and it has been passed by the parliament. But the president is lying on his desk.
Can I ask the committee to get a practical presentation on how the enterprise content management system works, as well as a possible visit to one of the rural museums in the department to see how that works?
Also, there is the cultural affairs and sports committee. We also need the
Over here at and the current council's term of office is scheduled to end at on the 31st of October. But that process is already beginning and we should have a shortlist by mid August. We will get that details. Okay, yes, please do.
Sorry, thank you, Chair. I just spoke to Dr. Kamuka, he's the one that's in charge of Heritage Western Cape, before the meeting. And I think the deadline is today. Ask him to get the shortlist to the committee by next week so that the committee can have enough time to make the copies. Basically, with Heritage Western Cape, because it's a new term, and with any vacancies for that entity, the department does the groundwork, so the advertising, compilation of the CVs and so on. So that will come to us, and then the committee has to shortlist all that. So I've requested him to get that information to me as soon as possible, as soon as they, so hopefully by next week, and then that should be ready for the committee by the 20th, for you to sit with it, if that's on your agenda to deal with it. So you'll have it by then. Whether you now make the decision on that date, it's up to the committee, or if you want to take another, more time to make your decision. But I've asked him to speed up the process to get the CVs to us, or the applications.
Because they can brief us, because they can brief us on the 20th of August, potentially, so that we can then have a greater understanding of how to deal with those applications as well. You're asking.
Oh, thank you, Chief. Sorry for that. I actually missed out on that detail. It's best that the department briefs the committee first, so that you know what the roles are of the entity and so on. And I've also spoken to them, they should be ready. So if you want it for the 20th, I'll just drop them an email and arrange that. And hopefully you'll have the CVs with you as well. Then. Yeah.
As long as we just make sure there's no clash between the committee meetings, because you change at the last minute.
Mm.
Every time I get a notice, I know it's going to be amended the next day.
Mm.
Between myself and the procedural officer, we will be engaging with various chairpersons within the Western Cape Provincial Parliament to see how we can address our shortage of time and the index of
votes. Sure, just so you know, nothing happens after this slot, so we're more than happy to stay here. But just an amendment to my previous resolution around visiting the museum. Can I specifically request that we visit the museum on the West Coast? And then Mbwata's also just reminded me that a trip sometime to the provincial archives would also be very useful as well.
Sir, I would like to bring one thing to your attention. Please, gentlemen, just bear with me. Culture cannot survive outside of a geographic territory. It happens to all cultures, even the Khoisan. They become modernized and they are detached from their roots. The same happens with the Greek or the same happens with the Zulus. You become urbanized, you come here, and one of these days their culture will die because you are now becoming westernized and the western culture is in the cities. What I would like to know, and I couldn't get a chance because I would then actually be trying to dominate this meeting, but we need a more in-depth discussion about what does self-determination mean for cultural groups. I believe the courts of people, for argument's sake, have asked already that they need a place where for initiations. And I don't know if that's ever been attended to. but they ask for it. That's their culture. And the same with other groups. They need that when a child is born or when a child is 21, like in the Greek was, there's certain rituals we perform, but there's no place where we can perform it. So this stands in, comes in line with spatial planning again. How do you plan to make provision for people who want to have certain cultural festivities? So I think we need a more in-depth discussion for later, not now, but that is important.
Thank you so much. On that note, this meeting is adjourned. Thank you.
I don't see your airway.
We're a liberal democracy, individuals first.
Are you a permanent member for Cultural Affairs and Sports?
Why do you want to know?
I just want to know. Or are you a gay member?
I'm married.
I know.
Okay.
I know.
I'm a permanent member.
Okay.
Are you disappointed
but
now?
But not for community safety.
Eh?
Not for community safety.
No, not for community
okay.
safety.
Okay.
I just put my nose in everything.
Okay. Well, that we came to know.
But I hope that I make a positive contribution.
Yeah.
If not, I'll stay away.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. What's wrong with that city?
Yes, sir.
What's wrong with the city?
We have a wonderful weekend. It's a lovely weekend.
Hi, Mr. Wilson. Can I send you an email for it?
Yeah, we'll do that and then I'll send it to you. But these are... It's not us, it's the institution, Orca, you know? It's the institution, it's not us.
Oh.
So they need to be a record of some form. So we will find out what that is and we'll take it from you.
Okay, thank you.
Just send me the email so it's the formal request and then the manager's not here today, so...
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So I will try to see if this one is clear enough.
Yeah.
Then I might not send you an email.
Okay.
But
no, but send it in any case, so at least there's so that I can get the process started.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yes. Exactly.
So send it in any case, whether you use it or not, it's another story.
Okay. Thank you, Mr.
Okay, man.
I appreciate it. Yeah. Enjoy your weekend.
Thank you, man.
Hi, sir. Yeah, but...
Are you well?
Well, I don't know if I can have an interview with you.
Yes. When would you like to do it?
Check my number, dog. I don't have a card on me now.
Okay, sir.
Oh, you're very busy.
Your dad is also waiting there. Yes. Just in here. It's 071-575. You can come in?
Hi.
575-0016.
Oh, 16.
Yes.
Ali.
Yes.
Thank
yes.
you, sir. Yes. Okay.
Okay. He's just there. And Mr. Lansing.